It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Okay, pardon the crappy intro. For some reason or another, the little player doohickey thing that has all the elements in it and everything decided to erase itself over the weekend. Go figure. And sounds like crap. But hopefully, this part of it, the microphone and everything, doesn't. So we'll hope for the best. This program is live. It is the 18th day of November, 2019, for those of you listening live. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And it's also where you go if you, for instance, would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you jump in right now, you know, pick up a screen name and a password, that sort of thing. You'll be immediately greeted by Anatole and Squeaky early to the chat room, others wandering by in short order. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage skilled navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave and Sparky at the same time. Thanks, Sparky, letting me know it sounds good. No, Anatole, the feed was not busted. That was the crappy playback. Yeah, which is just another thing. Funny, it worked just fine yesterday. Never a dull moment. Never, ever a dull moment. But that's okay. I'm just happy to be back to the mic. One of these days... Man, what a Friday on the front porch we would have had this Friday last after Thursday and Friday's fun with impeachment. Jesus, God. But before I get ahead of myself, I must remind myself that every program here begins with gratitude. And so I've got a lot of thank yous to send out because I was gone for 2 days. So thanks go out to... Thanks go out to Ralphs and Matt in San Francisco and Les and thanks very kindly to our friend at Postal Weight Ed, and thank you to Andre and Jenny in Wisconsin. Thanks to Mike in Cascadia, to Barb, to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you to Robert. Thank you to Janice, to Glenn, to Reinhard over on the Virginia coast, to Tim, and thank you to Brock, and thank you to a different Tim. That would be our buddy Zed. Thank you very kindly as well to Nancy, Laborman, Grace, Stephen, Charlene in Rogues Island, and thank you just this evening to the birthday girl, Joy, up in Ann Arbor. Happy birthday to you, Joy, and many happy returns. So and all of the not all of those were subscribers. Some of those were folks jumping in to help knock down the fundraising deficit that we left the program with on Wednesday, so that it's not as bad as it could be. The fundraising goal for this evening is $520. And by the way, this is the final week of fundraising for the month of November. So hopefully we'll knock that down and go forward from there. Looking at something, other piece of weird business here. Trying to figure out why the laptop shows it's not charging. But, well, hopefully it won't just die on us during the program. We'll just cross our fingers there, if that's okay. Oh, God. My sympathies to California. I was reading in the chat room earlier that there have been further announcements of more potential power outages come Wednesday. Got to be a better way. And there is. There is. A decentralized grid with everybody solarized and batteried up some would go a long way, and it's more likely to happen in California than it is, say, here in almost level West by Cold Trump Genistan. Now, here, our power outrages are not planned. Our power outrages here are a matter of, you know, an incompetent coal-fried grid, that sort of thing. But that, Jesus. And then, of course, while I was gone, the NRA's roulette wheel of death made a couple of stops in California. It stopped in Santa Clarita, at, you know, one of those communities where it can't happen here, but it's in America, so it can happen anywhere. 3 dead children. The gunman killed himself and killed a couple of a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old. And wounded several others. And, of course, the Republican Party has no interest whatsoever in trying to prevent, let alone end, these outbreaks of Second Amendment freedom in places like Fresno. And, you know, the Fresno shooting was just people getting together to watch a football game in the evening. And strangers walked up and opened fire on the football watching party. Because that's just something that happens in America now. Jesus. And I suppose when we get to the conversation portion of the program, if you want to talk about what happened with the hearings last week, I'm certainly game. Apparently it was bad enough. I mean, the Marie Yovanovitch testimony was damning, for one, and it made fools of, and the Republicans made fools of themselves trying to fumble and fall all over themselves. On the one hand, trying not to slime an honorable career State Department employee, civil servant, while at the same time defending the walking, talking criminal enterprise that is, you know, Nitwit Nero's regime. Yeah, you're right. Anatole in the chat room says Jim Jordan's an asshole, although that's kind of an insult to assholes. Jim Shorts Jordan is a horrible, horrible human being. But so, too, is rising maggot star Elise Stefanik. Jesus criminy. And you know she was performing for an audience of one because, no, she tried to break the rules. She and Devin Nunez, you know, who sues parody cow accounts on Twitter, because he's just that pathetic. They tried to break the rules. and he tried to let her in because they desperately wanted to let their lone white woman go after Marie Yovanovitch because it wouldn't look quite as awful as all of those old white men going after her. But Adam Schiff, who has a tremendous degree of control over his passions and his emotions, who, if treated the way he was treated by the minority on Thursday, if that had happened in 1830 or 1840, there would be dead people by now. Because somebody would have called somebody out and somebody would have gotten shot. That's just history. But Nitwit Nero, the Democrats wouldn't even let a very talented Republican ask any questions. And so he went from there, and there was another, and it's pretty obvious that Nitwit Nero, and she doesn't even really, she runs counter to type for him. It's pretty obvious that he's got a little sort of a pumpkin crush. Now, if that isn't the most disgusting sound name for a soda pop you've ever heard. New pumpkin crush. Nah, he's got a little pumpkin crush on Elise Stefanik. And her assholery, by the way, resulted in her opponent in the 2020 election raising $1 million over the course of the weekend. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa noting, sentient hate crime, please. That's by far the preferred nomenclature, as opposed to me calling it a walking, talking criminal enterprise that is Nitwit Nero. Sentient hate crime. That's quality word using. But like you, I mean, I watched the hearings just sort of with my mouth hanging open, catching flies, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot. I mean, it takes restaurant quality stupid with a capital stew to make you actually engage in felonious criminal conduct real time while a witness is testifying. That was something that none of us have ever seen before happen. I mean, this being November, it doesn't quite rise to the level of where were you when that happened on November 22nd, 1963. But it was pretty stunning. I mean, there was electricity in the air when Adam Schiff said, you know, he's tweeting a threat at you right now. And lessons were learned. For instance, when Marie Yovanovitch was testifying, and the Republican asked her a question that he didn't know what the answer was going to be to, and she came back with, well, no, I mean, a president can have whoever he wants be an ambassador. I mean, those are just the rules. Well, thank you, ma'am. But why did I have to be smeared? Why was it necessary to smear my good name in the process? Well, I didn't ask you that question. Well, dumbass, you kind of did. I mean, there's nobody that's any good at this on the Republican side, and maybe it's because of what they've got to work with or not work with. It's like that old thing that old law school saw that I've mentioned many times. When you've got the facts, pound on the facts. When you've got the law, pound on the law. When you've got the table, pound on the table. They didn't even have the table, the Republicans. Every way they turned, they were failing. And one of the more important and interesting things to me, well, you know, the money got through anyway. Yeah, because John Bolton sent it on. John Bolton, did you ever imagine you would live in a world in a world. Did you ever imagine you would live in a world where John Bolton would be the hero in the piece? John Bolton made the money flow, and then he had to go. That wasn't Nitwit Nero's doing. That's how bad it is. When John Bolton can actually be a hero, you know that there is some manifest evil and stupid that's rolling around. And eventually, because we get to things here before they get to them, you know, we were talking about how you had to talk about it was bribery back when everybody else was hollering quid pro quo, like Americans take Latin. Well, I think people are still a little bit lost, especially those leprechaun, unicorn, independent voters. The sacred, holy, independent voter of political lore in this country. They're still having trouble, apparently, we're told, sorting out how it is that we got here and why it is we're here. And so what we've got to help the American people figure out, and especially, you know, the evangelical types, the ones who want the Ten Commandments in all our schools and all our courting houses. Got to have the Ten Commandments everywhere. Got to have the Ten Commandments on the gas pumps. Have the Ten Commandments posted at the post office. Maybe we should force Facebook to post the Ten Commandments on the main page. Well, there's this one commandment there that is frequently distilled down to the notion of thou shalt not lie, which actually comes across as thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And everybody's your neighbor in that circumstance. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That means don't say something about someone that isn't true. And when we get to the point where we can get America understanding that that's precisely what was going on with the Ukraine shakedown, that venereal Vespasian was asking Volodymyr Zelensky to tell lies about Hunter Biden and by extension Joe Biden in exchange for money being released to his country, then the evil of what Donald Trump did becomes much more apparent and much more easy to comprehend. That is the, and it was hilarious. I forget which maggot it was on the panel. Asked the question, Miss Yovanovitch, at any time did you see evidence of Donald Trump accepting a bribe? No, sir. And that was the end. Well, okay then. Obviously, there ain't no bribery case. Wasn't how it worked. because he didn't ask the question that was the and he's trying to make sure that the maggots say stupid. He wants the maggots to remain in the dark. He wanted to make it sound like the only way to be chargeable with bribery was to receive a bribe. But bribery runs both ways, and it is as illegal to offer one as it is to receive one. And so the Congressman Maggot didn't ask the obvious next question. Ms. Yovanovitch, are you aware of Donald Trump offering a bribe? Well, now we can talk about that. No, because he knew what the answer would be. When he asked the one but not the other, he essentially confessed that Donald Trump had offered the bribe. I'll release these monies if you tell lies about Joe Biden and his son. Oh, and Elise Stefanik thought she was so terribly, terribly, terribly clever when she said, "Well, didn't they prepare you for your didn't they prepare you when you were coming for your Senate confirmation? Didn't they prepare you by telling you, asking you practice questions about the Bidens?" Well, yeah, they asked a lot of questions. Well, that shows that they were... No, it doesn't, maggot lady. It doesn't at all. What it shows is that the Obama administration knew exactly what they were dealing with back then. And back then, it was pre-maggot. So we're talking about birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, bagger eaters, booger eaters, and... right. Baggers. And so they came up with the most stupid questions imaginable because Republicans can be routinely counted upon to ask the most stupid questions imaginable. So that's why there was prep questions about Hunter Biden and Burisma, not because they thought it was a viable criminal enterprise or undertaking or what. No. So, you know, that was Thursday and Friday. James in Illinois writes, Stefanik trying to separate out the women folk as they can't sort this out. Yeah. They got them one. They got them a white lady on the Republican side. Just not quite of the same quality or intellect as the women on the Democratic side. As Steve in New York points out, there weren't any talented Republicans, and that's part of the problem. All they got's maggots, lick spittles, bootlicks, turd burglars. You know, with their heads so far up Donald Trump's fundament that when he opens his mouth, you can see their smiling faces back by where his tonsils apparently used to be. And speaking of stupid... Scott in San Diego says, Trump and his handlers, keepers, must think we're pretty damn stupid. And Scott refers to the mysterious trip to Walter Reed by Nitwit Nero. Yeah, what's that, Asa? No, Bob. That's why nobody's ever been arrested for trying to bribe a cop. The cops routinely find themselves in prison for receiving bribes. Or so the maggots inform me. Yeah, I'll bet they do. Those are some big brains, them maggots. Scott in San Diego, not all of the restaurant quality stupid is on the GOP side. Yeah, we've got that we got that too. It was another this past Saturday in Las Vegas. It was another one of those Uncle Joe Biden senior moments. One wag pointing out that he had his thumb firmly on the pulse of 1994. Because here in 2019, in what appears to be a desperate attempt to show here how irrelevant he truly is, Uncle Joe declared that the marijuana's is a gateway drug. You know, one minute you're sitting there injecting the marijuana's into your neck, and the next thing you know, you're out there chewing up the Oxycontins for the refreshing burst of flavor, because it's a straight line from the marijuanas to the opioids and the meth. Obviously the answer is Uncle Joe, but who says stupid shit like that in 2019? And in larger measure, if you say stupid shit like that in 2019, I mean, does Joe even understand who it is he's trying to convince to vote for him? Among them, pot smokers, cannabis consumers, who, curiously enough, have not committed any axe murders lately. Oh, I know. Jim asks, a gateway drug? Even with a stirrup aquarium pump bong, Bob? Well, I mean, Jim, you went on to become a notorious meth addict, didn't you? I mean, there you were, just honking on the bong with the stirrups on it. And the next thing you thought, you know, I need me some meth. Actually, no, that said nobody ever. But I got a meth story. Oh, dude, Jesus Dill Harris, have I got a meth story? Because all meth stories are Do Jesus, Dill Harris, meth stories. Because there's something about meth, and I think it's the meth part, that makes your brain not work so good. Let's take a little toddle down to McDowell County, West Virginia, one of the most beaten and bedraggled places in the entire United States of America. The county seat of McDowell County is Welch, West Virginia, where 55-year-old Larry Paul McClure Sr. has been arrested. And he has also arrested were his daughters, 31-year-old Amanda Michelle Naylor and 32-year-old Anna Marie Chowdhury have been taken into custody as well, all relating to a murder. There's a murder in this thing, so there's not much potential for really yucking it up. But damnation, meth. Holy smoke. So Larry Paul McClure is suspected, along with his two daughters, of murdering a man from Minnesota by the name of McGuire. This can get rather confusing rather quickly, because we've got McClure's killing a McGuire. Well, it turns out that John McGuire was the boyfriend of sorts of Amanda Naylor McClure. Now, John McGuire was from Minnesota. He didn't have any ties to McDowell County. And this is where it gets weird. Daddy helped his daughters kill John McGuire, and Daddy, in a written confession, has given great details about how they hit McGuire in the head, then injected him with meth, and then strangled him. One wonders, was this a three-step process? I don't know. Hitting him in the head didn't kill him. Well, let's shoot him up with some of our meth. Oh, didn't kill him either. All right, choke him to death. You got to think that they were probably using the meth, too. That's bad enough. It gets weirder, though, because, well, Larry Paul McClure Sr. also admitted that after they had killed Mr. McGuire, that he and his daughter had some sexy time. I know. Ill. Just ill. And there goes dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. No way around it. Oof. And not only did he and his daughter have sexy time after murdering Mr. McGuire, they decided that their relationship needed to be solemnified and they needed to make it legal. So, yes, they got all married up. It would be interesting to tell this story to Uncle Joe Biden and ask him if he thinks that that they went down this tormented path because they started with that gateway drug, the marijuanas. It's sort of difficult to parse because I can't tell, according to the reporting, if at least the McClures were from McDowell County or if that's just where that just turns out to be a good place to hit somebody in the head and then inject them with meth and then strangle them to death. But they're in the South Central Regional Jail. And damn. And then on top of it all, they added an extra charge to Larry McClure of being a sex offender and failing to register as such. Ms. Choudhury, well, she's also facing charges, in addition to first-degree murder, of conspiracy and concealment of a deceased human body. They found Mr. McGuire in the Sky Gusty area of McDowell County in a shallowly dug grave. But the women are all from a place called Chisago City, Minnesota. Well, Amanda Naylor McClure, because they got married up, she's from Chisago City. Anna Marie Choudhury is Lincoln County, Minnesota.
can't y'all keep that shit in mind?
I mean, not y'all, but
why'd West Virginia have to get dragged into this?
Well, as if dinner in the Eastern time zone wasn't already taking a beating, Brother Deacon Asa is adding insult to injury. Are you kidding me? Trump started squeezing his mushroom stub with his tiny little hands when he heard you tell that father-daughter story. Ooh! That's got some real dry heave qualities to it. Ron and Raleigh said, overkill much? If they drowned him, it would have been like Rasputin.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, here's how I keep it all straight in my head, says Scott in San Diego. McClure and McGuire are just getting higher. In L.A., you know where that's at. Or McGuinn and McGuire just getting higher. In L.A., you know where that's at. And no one's getting fat except Mama Cass. That's from Creek Alley by the Mamas and the Papas in 1967. Well, howdy. Wowzer. James in Illinois, subject line, the marijuanas. Just trying to keep grandma off the street corner.
Oh, damn.
And Randy and PA asking the central question, who says stupid shit like the U.S. is a democracy when over 70% of the citizenry approves of marijuana usage and marijuana is still classified as a Schedule I drug? Adding, okay, I guess most of the press says that. I guess that's something that we all have to unlearn. Jim, meanwhile, adding, give me Librium or give me meth. That's good. That's quality wordplay. Give me Librium or give me... Jack in Shreveport adds, subject line, sexy time. Before you said they went and got on and got hitched, I was going to ask if it was each other they had sexy time with or the dead guy. However, even after you said it, I still have to ask just to be sure. I really hope we don't have to add the necrophilia to it. It's my understanding that Amanda and Daddy had the sexy time with each other. I got to find a way out of this story. It's like a fucking incestuous corn maze. I mean, oh, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it's more on Monday. What do you expect? Scott adding, Uncle Joe's apparently getting his marijuana talking points from the 1936 screenplay for the anti-pot propaganda flick Reefer Madness. Meanwhile, this, Bob, I know this is a subject line, fundamentalist. Bob, I know this is probably more appropriate to prayer meeting Wednesday, but what about Polar White passing herself off as his personal pastor? I doubt Donnie can pronounce the word pastor or spell the word the, unless it's an old picture Bible I used to see in the doctor's office as a kid. I doubt he would ever pick one of those things out. They might catch fire if Donnie touched them. Then there's this pardoning of three members of the military. Yeah, we got that story, too. Who were convicted of war crimes under the UCMJ and reinstating them to service. He wants to be like his boyhood hero at all getting the Army to swear loyalty to him and damn the country or the Constitution. Just an observation from your buddy, Dave, in the blind. And if you want true Orwellian absurdism and newspeak, then reading reading the statements that the White House has to put out after these after decisions like that, it kills brain cells. I mean, you can just feel them dying inside your skull as you read them. Damn. But President Trump did this because our military, if we're going to ask our military to fight, they have to be able to fight. Well, these fuckers were not convicted of fighting. They were convicted of murder. Because even though war is state-sanctioned, orchestrated homicide, it is not straight-up murder within the meaning of the criminal law. But those guys were killers, murderers, not the kind of killers that we want. And there have been a number of military experts in the last 24 hours or so who have said, this is not going to be good for the military. In particular, that this tears at the structure of command and control. Which is probably true. Think of it. Your average war criminal type sitting there, well, you know, I can do anything I want. As long as I say I'm a maggot, I'll get pardoned. And so I haven't even gotten to the point or the part where we talk about his bizarre. Oh, wait, before we go to the bizarre, since we were talking about meth, and since it is Moran Monday, South Dakota's governor is, of course, a maggot Republican. And South Dakota is trying to address its meth problem. Let's check in with Christy Nome and a PSA for South Dakota Meth Prevention Campaign. I'm going to grab the hockey puck. I mean, if you thought meth and incest and murder and it, well, wait.
I'm Governor Christy Nome. South Dakota's meth crisis is growing at an alarming rate. It impacts every community in our state, and it threatens the success of the next generation. This is our problem, and together we need to get on it. If you see something happening or you know of someone who needs help, call 1-800-920-4343 or go to onmeth.com. Let's get meth out of South Dakota.
I trust you heard that. If not, let's go back. As she describes South Dakota's meth problem.
This is our problem, and together...
Now, I want to make sure we get it all. Sometimes this queuing up on the fly thing's a little difficult.
Next generation. This is our problem, and together we need to get on it.
This is our problem, and together we need to get on it. And so what's their website that they advertise at the end of this PSA? You're just going to have to trust me. Yes, it's onmeth.com. I shit thee not. And then there's the visual campaign.
you know, the graphic image campaign that shows the outline of the state of South Dakota declaring meth, we're on it. And then there's images from the campaign that say, that have young people saying, I'm on meth. And according to the Argus Leader, the paper of record in South Dakota, Stan, the taxpayers ponied up just a little short of $449,000 to the ad agency that produced signs that say, meth, we're on it, and directed good God-fearing South Dakotans to go to a website called onmeth.com. Did I mention this is Moran Monday? Yes, I did. Meth, we're on it. Oh, God. And it's the creative process, all the way up to the office of the governor of the state of South Dakota, the maggot Republican governor of the state of South Dakota. Okay, we need a, what we need here, we need a campaign to encourage people not to do meth. Meth, we're on it. I like it. By God, it sounds like winning. Help. With regard to the marijuanas, Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm almost certain that Simple Joe thinks he can talk his way into peeling some maggots off Trump by doing the tough talk on the drugs. Yeah, but the problem, Asa, is that a whole bunch of the maggots are on the drugs. Kind of makes your head hurt. Meth, we're on it. I mean, we wouldn't even do that in West Virginia. That's like saying, well, welcome to wild, wonderful West Virginia. Pills, we've got them. We got pills. We got this. As far as the pardons of the war criminals go, Scott in San Diego points out, that's the duh moment of the day, Bob. The military even asked Trump not to do it, and he did it anyway. Well, yes, you're absolutely right. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, as far as killing brain cells goes, does not listening to right-wing radio do the same, killing brain cells? Oh, yes, it most assuredly does. And James adds, in regard to the war criminals, it wasn't some peacenik busybody do-gooders who turned the guy in. It was his own fellow soldiers. You can't fix a problem by supporting criminals. That's how so-called terrorists are created. I'd have to say so. And along the way, yeah, we gotta mention this. This is what I was alluding to before I went off to the South Dakota story. Heroin, we're on it. Coke, who knows? You get paid almost $450,000 for that. Jesus. But at some point in time, I think we have to engage in some wild and probably mean-spirited speculation about, because, you know, it's Trump, about why he suddenly, or someone suddenly felt the need to take him to Walter Reed on Saturday. Walter Reed Military Hospital Complex. It wasn't scheduled. And oddly enough, he wasn't golfing. And out of the clear blue nowhere, they just decided it was time for Donnie to begin his checkup. And so they put out this bullshit line about how he just had a little free time on his hands, so they decided to toddle over to Walter Reed. No, it doesn't work that way. To the point that even Count Dicula's cardiologist says that this is bizarre as hell. The White House medical staff has the ability to take blood work, run blood work, do a stress test. I mean, there's a pharmacy in the White House. They can't do, open heart surgery there. But something happened that got him taken to Walter Reed Hospital. Count Dicula's cardiologist, being a cardiologist, is thinking of it in terms of cardiac care, because Nitwit Nero is 73 years old and prefers to eat from McDonald's because he's scared to death of being poisoned. One wonders by whom. A person who is scared of being poisoned has to have something of a reason. Let's see, who poisons a lot of people these days? Let's just put our little thinking caps on and ponder that for a moment, shall we? Yeah, Pootie. Pootie poisons people. Jim pointing out, hell, the White House has a clinic in it. Yeah, it does. And so it was something that was beyond the ken of the White House clinic. That, or maybe they're afraid something would leak out of the White House about whatever it was he was being treated for. You know where my mind goes. It's not a secret. I think they couldn't get the dosage right on Saturday. And that, yes, in fact, he was naked and playing with himself in front of people. Or, because when we engage in wide-ranging rank speculation, you get to take into account all kinds of things. Let's try this one on for size, shall we? What if on Saturday, since he, it's not like he actually does anything. Mostly he flies on planes to maggot rallies. That's the only time he's comfortable. And between losing the governor's office in Kentucky Stan and then losing it in Louisiana Stan after he went down there, not once, not twice, I think four times, supporting the maggot candidate for governor of Louisiana Stan, where he won by 20 or 30 points over Hillary Clinton in 2016. And where he called John Bel Edwards, the governor of Louisiana, who is not exactly Huey Long in terms of being politically liberal. He's not. John Bel Edwards isn't out there leading parades while singing Every Man a King at the top of his voice. John Bel Edwards is an abortion, a women's rights opponent. He signed the Louisiana legislature's abortion law into effect. Triggering, of course, a nice little lawsuit that's going to cost the state of Louisiana a fortune. He loves him some guns, just like everybody in Louisiana Stan does. And everybody in Mississippi Stan, and everybody in Alabama Stan, and Georgia Stan, Talabama, Tennessee Stan. Good little guns. And yet, Nitwit Nero went down there and did everything short of calling him Che Guevara
And then John Bel Edwards won. So that's three gubernatorial elections in a short span of time. Nitwit Nero involved himself in all three, but he only managed to win in Mississippi, Stan. When you can't win in Louisiana and you can't win in Kentucky, and the only thing you can win is the governor's office in Mississippi, Stan, things are not going well. And I have a feeling it scared the shit out of him when Adam Schiff on live TV said, told Marie Yovanovitch, the president is tweeting at you, and read it to her, and she said, yes, I feel threatened. And he then said, well, I can tell you, ma'am, that we take witness tampering very seriously here. Unless he's pardoned, he's not getting out of that. And so to come back to the mysterious trip to Walter Reed, I haven't seen anybody talking about this in my perusal of the news of the day. Yeah, it's possible he had some sort of cardiac event. And they wanted to keep it on the down low, especially because he spent the 2016 campaign running on a dummied up doctor's report saying he was the healthiest president in the history of the union. And that he ran his campaign arguing that Hillary Clinton was one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. Well, as Darlene points out, maybe an anxiety or a panic attack, which can most certainly mimic a heart attack. Oh, yes, I know. It looked like he was rushing into the Escalade without help and on his own capacity. And to play it safe, his handlers insisted he got to the hospital for a full examination. They'd have to. After all, what if they were wrong and he bought it right there in the Oval? But remember, bear in mind at the same time, the allegations contained in the book by the anonymous, not a hero, person who's in the White House, apparently, claims to be still, and talks about the goings-on in the background. One of those claims is that there have been cabinet members who have engaged in a discussion about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, which we have discussed on this program at great length. What if this is the front end of Nitwit Nero's resignation? Or what if this is the front end of the 25th Amendment mechanism being triggered? I think there's reason for that to have more credence, more credibility than most people would suspect. Here, let's game this out for a second. Hold on. Ron in the far frozen north says, I saw one possible explanation for Trump's visit to Walter Reed. If he gets a heads up that the Supreme Court will allow his tax records to be released to the House, he may be setting the stage for resignation in exchange for the House dropping that effort. There would be nothing more embarrassing to Kumquat Caligula than to have the world find out he's worth nowhere near what he claims. There are some major holes in his theory, but something about it rings true as a possibility. And it's all of these background things that I think are a part of the process. You can almost, the press release almost writes itself. Donald Trump has worn himself out making America great again. And now, for his own good, he's going to step away from the presidency because America's great now. We got to keep America great again, and we got to give, fill in the blank, Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, what have you, the opportunity to carry his work forward. See how it works? Because whether it's the 25th Amendment or whether it's a straight-up resignation, the reason you do that is so that you can get the federal pardon before the feds can get to you. Now, what Ron mentioned about the Supreme Court is relevant because today the lawyer for the House, a man named Letter, informed the Supreme Court that he would be happy to brief the Supremes by Friday on the issue of letting the House have Trump's tax records. Because the imposition of the Circuit Court of Appeals order made the tax records deliverable as of Wednesday. I'm sure there are people who read that story today and were outraged. I tell you, outraged that. But this is how appealable matters work. And so the Supreme Court will hear this in an expedited fashion. And once his tax records come out, it's not just the fact, Ron, that he's not as rich as he has lied all along saying he is. Everybody knows that. It goes back to, who was it, Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, getting the entire assembled crowd to yell, "Trump's broke." That's not as much fun as we had on Friday yelling fuck Trump, but it's of similar effect. But it's not just that he doesn't have as much money as he says he does. It's where the money's coming from. And to whom he owes the money. So this is, I see something at work here. And got a pretty good track record for predicting things, not because it's magic or because I've got a magic eight ball with a cracked screen that always says answer hazy, ask again later. This doesn't have anything to do with my tattered purple robe with the frayed embroidered appliqued moons and stars and "Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby," written in glow-in-the-dark paint across the front of it. This is just a matter of predicting behavior based upon past performance. And it calls to mind the line from Shakespeare, a hero dies but once, but a coward dies a thousand deaths. And with every new revelation that indicates how close the walls are getting to him, he dies a little bit every day, again and again and again. It's like, think of it as a sort of pumpkin-colored Twilight Zone episode. And it doesn't help that the people that he watches on TV are losing their shit, too.
because they are. Take, for instance, the folks over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. They were talking about impeachment on that program they've got called The Five. There's another great moment in marketing. The Five. Does it come on at 5 o'clock? No. But, yeah, this. And by the way, it features Jeanine Pirro, whom he just is crazy about. Things are not going well at all for the maggots these days.
That's not good
for Nitwit Nero to see that on his favorite TV network. Not good at all. Jim says, what? Your robe. I forgot to mention, no foundation garments. Bob, please. You know what a true Scotsman wears under his kilt. Mm-hmm. Jim pointing out his free-floating anxiety created. Yeah. And it's not... Look, some of this stuff, you could dart him in the neck with an industrial-strength dose of Ativan or Xanax or Valium. It's not going to get him... It's not going to work because this is real world. And this is 70, practically, all right, let's pretend that he wasn't a complete turd for the first 10 years of his life. That's 63 years of nasty shit coming up to catch up. All right, 53 years. Let's get him to age 20. Unbridled, constant criminal or quasi-criminal conduct, and it's all about to come out. And he is coming apart. Silent R. Lamar says, Trump and Walter Reed, if Trump dropped dead and the White House claimed he did, who'd believe them since they cry wolf so much? Produce the body and let us stick the body with the rods to see if he moves. Ooh, that's downright medieval, Silent R. Meanwhile, Steve in Georgia Stan says, Saturday, Trump. Bob, if I were a betting man, I'd venture to say he had a transient ischemic attack, a mini stroke, a TIA, or he could be looking for a way to bail. I really do think, yeah. That this is the big setup on the way out the door. Here's the problem, though. Mike Pence, or whomever is vice president, Mike Pence can't pardon him for charges brought by the state of New York or any other state. Oh, Ron in the far frozen north, you a dirty mind indeed. David in South Carolina Stan says, when Vlad is done with him, he's done. Can you imagine how much stuff can be leaked out to media from the Kremlin? Oh, and it probably will be. Maybe after Vlad Putin goes to his long home, too. There will probably be a bit of a house cleaning. And I heard reference over the weekend, and I expect more, and that's shame on me,
I expect more of people who call themselves professional journalists than this, but just the same. I heard reference to allegations that there were nude pictures of Trump. That has never been a part of the description that came from the dossier. It was that Trump, fully clothed, watched naked Russian sex workers urinate on the bed where Michelle and Barack Obama slept when they were in Moscow. And he swears it didn't happen. Which, you know, when he says, believe me, don't. Don't. And so I think we can safely say that he had abundant reasons for having a 200 proof freak out somewhere between Friday and Saturday. Not just his taxes, not just Marie Yovanovitch, not just the witness tampering charges, not just obstruction of justice. You know, it's witness tampering and obstruction, and there's two separate crimes with two separate sets of elements, so that means two separate counts. But the fact that there's more coming, and it's coming from, you know, the phone calls are coming from inside the White House. And we're going to get more testimony, and it's driving him batshit. He lost his shit on Mike Pompeo. You know, Mike graduated first in his class at West Point. God, that always tickles me. And he now sees Pompeo as disloyal, saying that he needed to rein in. He needed to rein in Pompeo did folks at the State Department, who are saying what they're saying because they care more about their country and the Constitution than they do about Nitwit Nero, and they're not willing to go to prison for him. Over lunch on October 29th at the White House, four current former senior administration officials tell NBC Trump just felt like rein your people in. And he even got to the point that he was tweeting, Nitwit Nero did, because of course he did. And one source close to the guy who graduated first in his class at West Point said, Pompeo is hated by his building. He feels the heat a great deal, and he feels it's personal at state. And it's really harshing the mellow that he had when he was planning on being the next senator from the state of Kansas. Because that was his plan, leave Secretary of State and run for Senate in Kansas. No. Another administration source told NBC, he feels like he's getting a bunch of blame from the president and the White House for having hired all these people who are turning against Trump, and that it's the State Department that's going to bring him down. So it's all Pompeo's fault. As far back as October 23rd, Nitwit Nero was tweeting, it would be really great if the people within the Trump administration, all well-meaning and good, I hope, could stop hiring never-Trumpers who are worse than the do-nothing Democrats. Nothing good will ever come from them. He's freaking the fuck out. Meanwhile, after the trip to Walter Reed, a bunch of maggots, a maggot, released an X-ray photo on Twitter. Breaking, an X-ray image has been released from President Trump's visit to Walter Reed. Surely CNN can stop the hysteria now. It's an X-ray photo of Superman. No shit.
So like I mentioned, Count Dicula's cardiologist is having a conniption. And Sanjay Gupta over at CNN said, no, this doesn't wash. They can run tests at the White House. I hope, well, no, it's not a matter of hoping. I'm not fond of that hoping business. But I got a feeling things are going to, this is going to be, well, and it's concomitant with my statement of the last several weeks. However weird yesterday was, today has been weirder. And however weird today is, tomorrow will be weirder still. This is going to be the weirdest holiday season in recent memory. This is going to be downright bizarre. Well, good deal. I'm glad someone's keeping notes. Brother Deacon Asa says, okay, clairvoyant Kincaid. I'm writing down the date and time of your prophecy on this here program. We'll bring it back around when the shit goes down. Good. I realize it's a little bit broad to say this is going to be the weirdest holiday season in recent memory. That doesn't say why it's going to be weird, but I think we've just spent the last hour and 16 minutes talking about what? Whoa, no shit. Sparky says, rumor has it he freaked out when he couldn't go play golf. Well, Sparky, why couldn't he go play golf? Was it because it was raining? We hadn't paid the, we couldn't afford another tank of gas for Air Force One and Marine One? Was the weather shitty down at Mara Sleazo? I mean, he's not supposed to be a big drinker, so the fact that they're losing their liquor license at Bedminster in New Jersey shouldn't affect him. He could have gone and played at that one sleazy club he's got in Northern Virginia. Or hell, he could have gone and played at Congressional. Oh, well. I hear Congressional's a nice track. Darlene in Connecticut says, yeah, good point. This is a charade for him to step down for health reasons, and Pence pardons him, and all he has to do is fight the state-level stuff, hoping he can delay the hooscow with tons of counter-lawsuits. He'll receive Secret Service protection at our expense, and with his maggots continue to hound, harass, and dog a Democratic president. You got to figure, although I'd be careful about that Democratic president, because the people might just elect Mike Pence out of sympathy. And that's, ooh, that's just too much to ponder. Meanwhile, Ralphs says Trump owes more than $50 million to an LLC that exists mostly on paper. Well, now. And he just had to write a $20 million check for the fraud that he perpetrated with his sleazy charitable foundation. And by the way, they're exploring selling that nasty hotel he created in Washington, D.C. Yeah, no kidding. Get out while the getting's good. David Parenthold reported what Ralphs was talking about. Owes more than $50 million to an LLC that exists mostly on paper, no employees, no office, no assets of its own. That mystery lender, Chicago Unit Acquisition LLC, just filed its annual report. And it's a one-page document from the Illinois Secretary of State. And it's the only proof that the LLC even exists. And, of course, the huge creditor
is owned by the Trump Org. So how about that? Yeah, there's probably a little sleaze, filth, graft, grift, corruption, fraud tied up in all of that. Because it's Trump's. James in Illinois, playing golf, how much could it cost to build an 18-hole size dome? It'd be a big dome. And the thing is, it's not so much, it's the breadth, but it's also, you got to have, it's the ceiling height, because you got to account for big boom and slices and you, bouncing balls. And, oh, Jesus, I don't even want to think about it. Plus, Darlene adds, reports surfaced today that the House is now investigating whether Trump lied to Robert Mueller. Yeah, that was disclosed in other arguments. In front of the court. And that's part of the reason they keep arguing that they need access to his tax records. Because his financial data, well, and then there's also the Roger Stone verdict. There were things proven in that case that were taken as fact that draw a pretty bright line between Trump lying to Mueller based on things that came out at that trial. And that, no, it wasn't the financial records. That was part of the argument for giving Congress Mueller's grand jury evidence. And that'll have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. My God, if his maggot firewall doesn't hold, he is in a world of fucked. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And all of this is just the tip of the Moran iceberg. Steve from Georgistan asks, wouldn't Trump require a quorum for the 25th Amendment? Since most are in acting positions, wouldn't that throw a wrench into the 25th Amendment scheme? No. Because the word cabinet does not even appear in the 25th Amendment. If you go and you look at the 25th Amendment's language, it was crafted because cabinet itself is a sort of I don't want to say bullshit, but it's not constitutional per se. Let's go look at that language real quick. There we go. When you get down to Section 4, it speaks to whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president, yada, yada, yada. Principal officers of the executive departments. Now, that means cabinet, but it doesn't say who have been confirmed by the Senate. Yes, there's what I was looking for. Steve in New York, a member of the Fraternity of Steve, says,
Cabinet is, shall we say, a fluid term. Precisely. So no other member of the fraternity of Steve from Georgia Stan, there's no quorum requirement. And in fact, you could argue that principal officers of the executive departments takes in not only, for instance, the Attorney General and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense, but that it also takes in departments within the White House itself. For instance, the National Security Advisor. Or perhaps the head of the Office of Management and Budget. But what's clear is the word majority. A half plus an iota. Now, what you'd argue in court is that if you were on Trump's side, you'd say, well, you know, I mean, that's not. And this is one of those that you'd say, well, that's unclear. So they probably didn't have enough to send the letter. But Mike Pencilneck Geek has been hiding lately because one of his own staff members went and gave a deposition to the impeachment committee, and that put him persona non grata, that put Pence persona non grata, with Nitwit Nero, and Nikki Haley's still out there sniffing around the periphery. And even Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. He gave a press conference and was asked why he's not even being remotely supportive of diplomatic staff talking to House investigators. To which Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, said, issues surrounding the Democrat impeachment inquiry, just not going to do it today. And then he said, the ambassador's departure preceded the arrival of Bill Taylor. Some ideas out there that her removal is to enable some nefarious purpose. You should all just look at the simple fact that it was Bill Taylor that replaced Ambassador Yovanovitch. I'm proud of what this administration has done with respect to Ukraine. We reversed the massive failures of the Obama administration. Here's the thing, though. There was a magic month between the exodus of Ambassador Yovanovitch and the arrival of Bill Taylor. And in that magic month is when all the dirty was done. And it was not accidental. Not even a little bit. But good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian Mike Pompeo, no, he won't defend his own people. It's pitiful. But it's also par for the course. The problem, though, is that makes it abundantly clear that anybody, who would take a bullet for him, he will hang out to dry. So, let's go over. We're halfway into the program, by the way. We had a $520 fundraising goal because it did. Some of the excess from last week got knocked down. And thanks to those who did. Thank you so much. But it left us at 520 to begin this final week of fundraising for the month of November. And so at 520 to go, we are still at 520 to go. I mean, heck, if we could knock down 100 of it, we'd at least be at 420. And, well, I don't know, that might upset Uncle Joe Biden. Who knows? But let's run over and check in with Todd and see what's on his mind. I think it may have been a stressful weekend, like for all of us. What do you say, Todd?
Break the ice with the fundraising. Is you know, it's just a token, but it's what I can do right now. But
well, thank you, my friend.
You've had a couple of, more than a couple of tough months, and you know, I do what I can do when I can do it. So maybe somebody will follow me up. Well, first of all, I want to know if Ron and Riley, if he went to Phil Freeline's memorial in Durham. I just want to know. I'm just curious.
He sent me that note that I sent along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. All right. Cross that off the list. The next thing, what the fuck is Joe Biden thinking about?
Look, that's... oh, goddamn, there goes Bob. He's going to engage in some ageism. That's just Joe Biden being a 78-year-old, out-of-touch, privileged white dude.
That's what it appears to be. What the fuck, man? I mean, we're still going to vote for him if he's the candidate, but damn, man, what the fuck?
He's got to have at least a couple of handlers who are, you know, under 50. Yeah, Joe, don't talk that shit about gateway drugs. That's been disproven. That's been discredited. Because it has, Todd.
Well, and I'm glad you brought it up. And it's so funny. Now, this is all, and maybe it's somewhat anecdotal. There is research, and I just know from personal experience and from really, you know, because I'm a trained researcher and that's my vocation. But, you know, at the end of the day, for adults, it actually helps. It's the cure for people. Now, we have all this other shit. We don't even know what kind of drugs are coming down the road, like from laboratories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have rogue nations like Russia, North Korea. They have chemists, trained chemists. They can make anything they want with nobody looking.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it in a different context, Todd. I don't know if you've seen the stories. You know, it started with the deaths at that Dominican resort. Remember that over the summer?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found a story following up that said that some shocking percentage of booze in the world is counterfeit.
It is.
And it's particularly in places like Mexico, Central American countries, some of the Muslim countries where they at least allow it to be sold. There's a significant, what would you call it? Bootleg. Yeah. But it's more than that. It's because it purports to be name label product, and it can have all kinds of shit in it.
Now, this is not new. Now, I'm telling you, this is so funny you brought that up.
Well, I want to tease this thread out just a little further.
Go ahead, please.
Let's look at, say, tobacco products in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have anybody. Yeah, you'll have people out there selling Lucy's. It can get you killed, apparently. But they're selling loose, real cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see bullshit
fraudulent, fake Marlboros out there.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm following you. Yep.
And in legal weed states, and the reason, and the United States, through the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, you know, in a post-prohibition America, wanted to make sure that nobody was going to be out there tossing back some wood alcohol and wind up blind and dead.
Right.
So it's closely regulated. And so, too, are the tobacco is the tobacco industry. And in the brave new world of legalized cannabis, states like Colorado and Washington and Oregon and California, Massachusetts, are trying to maintain some sort of quality control as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes, but this is the problem, and this is the thing that poor old nearly a fucking octogenarian Joe Biden doesn't understand.
He doesn't get it.
Is that by legalizing and regulating, you make it safer for the people who insist upon consuming it. We want people, even though there are people in America, you know, we don't need alcohol. Those people exist, but at least we aren't killing people with homemade liquor with a little bit of lighter fluid thrown into it for flavor.
And those are the first guys to get busted, thank God. That's who the, you know, ATF, they go for the and I'm just saying, the reason I tried to cut you off earlier is because I will never forget, I was getting a haircut in South Philly. It was my first full-time position at Temple. And so I had to be in South Philly because that's where I was placed. I had to insert myself into this community. And anyway, I'm getting my hair cut. He's like, don't buy any wine from Italy. This Italian barber. That's when I had hair. And I was like, why? He said, oh, they use ethanol, you know, antifreeze to start the wine.
Oh.
You see, and that's apparently rampant. And remember, Italy's right across from the Balkans.
Yeah.
You see. Right. So that was a big deal. Remember, that in 96, you know, 95, 96, they were just coming, you know, they were warring over there. Milosevic, you know, people were trying to make money. This shit was all fucked up. Yugoslavia, you know. So, right. So what I'm saying is that some folks know that, so they go bust up the stills. Hopefully, you know, they do, you know, they figure out where the bad shit is coming from first. Because that shit will fuck your system up.
Yeah.
And back to you, General. Right. So this is like, you know, and I was, you know, come on, man, we're older. I remember that like yesterday. I was like, at first I thought,
what I was getting at is that the problem now, because, you know, fentanyl is everything and everywhere.
Right.
We know that fentanyl is finding its way into the black market vape cartridges.
Into the herb.
And it's finding its way into the just bag of weed herb.
See, this is right.
But if you want to take that proactive approach that says, "Well, people are going to drink. It would be better if we monitored so that, you know, we don't have wood alcohol in the old Panther piss." Then the same thing applies. We need a rigorous, robust, national regulatory scheme that makes sure that what people are using for recreational fucked upness ain't gonna kill them. Because the greatest danger with weed is that there's something in it that's not weed.
There you go. See, and we had to learn the hard way because it burns differently. Like when you get back when we were younger, the good stuff, they would call it exotic. And it's so funny because it was $10 a gram then. And the price had changed. It's so weird. But,
well, I mean, I'm old enough that I can remember when it was cents a milla.
Right. Exactly. And you can tell, you know, but you only find that out from, you know, being in that type of subculture lifestyle that, you know, it burns differently. And it looks different when it burns because you can see some, like, chunky stuff. You know something on it.
Yeah.
It is something on it. And
sometimes, and you know, sometimes the unscrupulous, you know, they just spray it with sugar water because it makes it sticky and it adds weight.
There you go.
And the sugar and the sugar forms little crystals, and you hold it and they say, right. See them little crystals on there? That means it's good.
Yeah. There's good crystals and bad crystals.
Well, exactly. We're gonna continue.
And so,
you know, look at God. It doesn't need to be done. This idea of doing it on an ad hoc basis and claiming states' rights to do it, if that's how you got to get there, I guess so. But we need a national policy on it, or we're going to find out that we've got a hell of a lot more problems than we even thought going down the road.
I don't understand. So without like beating this dead horse about the intricacies of knowing how you can tell things are adulterated and.
Yeah, but that's a skill set that the vast majority of people are not going to have. I mean, one of the benefits to getting a little bit older is that, you know, I can remember
I like that skill set. Oh man, that's a bell.
Well, maybe a little one. But I remember when the U.S. government declared that they were going to start spraying paraquat on Mexican pot fields.
They did it.
Yeah. And little potheads everywhere were worried. And, you know, does this smell right? Does it look right? Because right. Everybody knew that the Mexicans were still going to harvest it.
Mm-hmm.
Because money's money.
Yep. Money's money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Jim writes and says, memories of New York City and Washington Square, the cries from the vendors, loose joints.
Yep. Oh, hell yeah. I remember that.
And Ron
loose
and Raleigh.
Loose joints, nickel bag dimes. Yeah. Loose joints, nickel bag.
Yep, loose joints, yep, loose yep. joints, loose joints.
Brennan's Village, man. That's a fucking, yup.
Ron and Raleigh says, tell Todd I didn't attend the memorial. I found out too late that it was a ticketed affair. All the tickets were gone when I found out. I was bummed that I couldn't go.
I'm going to tell you, the news was there, man. It was let me tell you how bad Phil is. Phil was a badass mug, man. He like, his family, like, okay, everybody spoke, you know, his son, who's got his thing going on. He had his kids up there. And then he had some of his, Phil Pope had some of his coworkers, people he worked with. And we're like, Phil, think about time. Now, this is going to be 1.5 hours. And he made sure. He's like, no, this is going to be 1.5 hours. And man, that shit was on time. I'm telling you. And it was at one of the buildings he designed at the Human Department of Social Services. It was really something, man. It was, but Durham, don't get me started, but damn, man, that's a hell of a place, man. Durham, the highways around Raleigh, the Research Triangle is no joke. It's no joke.
Oh, you talking about those six lanes on either side affairs?
All nice and clean and smooth and lighted. I mean, it's like civilized and shit. All they're missing is a light rail. That's all. It's just people from different places, man. I could live there. I could totally. When I'm done with what I'm doing now, man, I could totally live there because I like Asheville. It's not that far from Asheville, I suppose.
Oh, but Asheville's just so awash in hipsters, though. I mean,
and they got damn junky ass.
And who can who can afford to buy a house? That's the thing. Once a place has been gentrified, who can afford a place?
But it's beautiful. Those mountains are fucking beautiful. Well, you live in the mountains, man. It's so damn beautiful up there.
That's the thing. Come to West Virginia; it's a lot cheaper.
Well,
and we have hipsters too, and we have beer with way too much hops in it. I mean, go ahead. No, you.
No, well, I was just thinking about the thing that Biden's missing is that he's on the reverse end of the prism. He doesn't understand that there's anecdotal evidence and there's a growing body of empirical evidence And we noticed anecdotally that actually herb is the cure. When people have these opioid problems and they maybe a heroin problem, I mean, come on, man. Like I told you, I used to melt rocks, man. I don't think I could have gotten through that if I hadn't been a smoker. I really don't. Because when I made my mind up, man, I made sure I had like three types at home, come home after work, and make sure, you know, I had my woman next to me, man. We eat, stay home, watch movies. Boom. It was done. I mean, that was done overnight. And I'm not the only one. Everybody I talked to about that, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, because remember, they flooded. We got flooded by Bill Barr's compatriots, that fucking asshole. You know, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I'm just talking shit here. I mean, it really is, you know, for some people it's helpful. Everything's not for everybody. Don't get me wrong. And it's not about getting high all day, every day, like when we were teenagers. It's not like that, you know. But it is therapeutic for some people. And, you know, it's just that's just the way it is. And for him to say
you know,
that,
Lady B has written extensively about the therapeutic effects.
I've heard, because she is our prose laureate. And that's what she does. And she's correct. I believe that. A lot of people believe that. And she knows. That's what I'm saying.
Meanwhile, time traveling, James in Illinois says, I got some Colombian gold once. It turned out to be Mexican paraquat. Because that's what it did. Oh, man, it's
we remember
gold.
That in the late 70s, man. It was like bad news, man. I was like, ugh. But see, God, it was bad news.
Do I remember, was there an SNL skit that featured John Belushi in a poncho as a Mexican pot grower? God, it's just so long ago, but I've got that mental image.
I see him in the poncho, though. You mean like a square thing with just a hole in for your neck?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see that in my mind. I'm not doubting it. Because that was the era when, I mean, that was, see, the younger people don't understand. You would leave a club to get home to be there in somebody's house to watch. It was the thing to do. I was like, we got to go. We got to watch the show. That's when it was funny. Chevy Chase, you know, that's when it was, like, just outlandishly funny. You know, and I was a young kid, man. But I was around older folk. Oh, boy. You know, Oh, Bob.
Oh, you also got a note from Steve in Georgia, Stan. He says, let Todd know I said hi, and Washington Journal is still off the hook.
It's off. Oh, my God. Man, I'm so addicted. This is disgusting. I got one Trumper at work, and he's law enforcement, so I don't fuck. I mean, he's a nice guy and all. And I hope he's not listening. I don't care if he's listening or not, frankly. I don't give a fuck. I'm over 50, so I really don't give a fuck. I had to kick a motherfucker out of there this weekend. You know, whatever. Don't act up. So what he's missing out on, see, Joe is just piling, Mr. Biden is just piling on the evidence that he's out of touch. With the phonograph stuff, and you know, come on, man, they need to just
on the Victrola.
They didn't even say no. What the fuck was he looking at? Some Beach Boys video, like when the kids used to sit around a little tiny record player and shit. What the fuck, man? What is up with that?
No, are you kidding? He was watching ancient film clips of flappers in the '20s doing the Charleston.
I don't know, man. I just don't understand. Perez, you know, are they getting paid off to just blow this whole thing? Because at the end of the day, and I took a note, I made a note. Okay. So seriously, at the end of the day, we are not. In other words, they should have done all this vetting and whittling down behind closed doors and say, yeah, you're good, you're not, you're good, you're not. You know, like a casting agency, because it is a private entity. You know, they don't have to let anybody in. And they can just like the GOP did. They ain't like Mark Sanford could have been a great Republican startup. But they didn't even let him run. They were like, yeah, you ain't going to be in the ballot in that state. This state, nope. Ah, bye. They can do that shit. And a lot of Americans don't understand that these are private organizations.
Like, and I confess I'm flummoxed at the idea that Pete Buttigieg is running first in Iowa in their gold standard poll.
Well, you know, he looks good. But this is the thing. And I know this for a fucking fact. I'm a transplant, and I'm telling you right now, where I live in the Deep South, it's the United States. The currency is the same, but, man, things are different. Ain't no goddamn way. Now, if he were single, it might work. But ain't no fucking way. And this is not me. This is clinical. I'm just making an observation. There's no fucking way he's going to win the South. And you have to win the South to be the president. I mean, I'm not talking about the popular vote because we don't, you know, there's no point in talking about the popular vote anymore. It doesn't fucking matter. So we need to talk about the Electoral College. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Because why are we not hearing more about that county in Florida where the votes were flipped? And that's sealed. They won't even let us know.
Oh, no. And you know, the stories are out there practically every day now. This is not, you know, this does not bode well. I'm trying to find... lawsuit, AP from a few days back, lawsuit could purge 234,000 names from Wisconsin voter rolls.
There we go. Now, who do you think that's going to help? That's not going to help us.
The lawsuit was filed last Wednesday and would require Wisconsin voters to re-register to vote before the next election.
Who's got time for this shit?
And, of course, the lawsuit was filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. You know, when you see the word liberty, you know you're dealing with a bunch of white-winged turds.
Yep. Oh, God.
Sit, Liberty. Sit.
Woof. You know, your program is, as you state, is so far ahead. For instance, why is the for-profit media now just like, oh my God, he was talking on an unsecured cell phone? He's been talking about that for fucking since he got elected. Since he wouldn't give up. All those tweets, they're from unsecured cell phones. Remember we were talking about the those mechanisms, not Shark. What is it? You know, they're fake cell towers. They were deployed all over.
Yeah, like stingers or something.
Stingrays. That's it. The stingray. The stingray. Right. So they intercept cell phone signals and you know, download the data, upload it to, you know, their devices, and then push it back out because that's what they do. So, you know, now they're acting like it's a big deal. But, you know, your program has been on top of that for, you know, years. So it's so much. But I'm not confident. Once again, I'm not confident that this asshole will not win again. When you listen to Washington Journal, man, these folks are just solid. They're just like, I don't care.
Right. And if he resigns, there's enough time out front for, I mean, this would be the time to do it because it provides enough lead time for Pence to run and get the pity fuck.
Mm-hmm. Pity fucking ain't cool, but it works sometimes. You know, what the fuck, man?
You know, the goddamn Democrats ran that good man. They ruined his health and ran him out of office. Well, we better reelect Pence because that's a hard thing for him to. Oh no, you see what I'm saying?
This is not fair. Yeah.
Now, the other side of that is. it would suddenly open up a Republican primary.
Oh, they would have to at that point.
Ponder that for a minute.
Oh, that's interesting, Bob. You playing chess over there, man.
Queen to queen's level three, man.
That's something to think about. That's interesting, isn't it? I like this.
And then Nikki and Nimrata Haley would be in that shit in a minute.
Oh, she's on top of it.
Oh, and by the way, Clarence wants to know. Ask Todd if he received his $50 rebate from the state of South Carolina. I'm surprised this red state shared some excess revenue with the taxpayers. I got my check today.
I didn't get it yet, but it's on the way. And that's because, you know, these folks are fiscally conservative as hell. They need to fix the damn roads. But what's up, Clarence, man? You know. Oh, my God, going over here towards Florence and Dillon and don't even try to go down to the corridor of Shan, Colleton County, Barnwell, Amberg. But, yeah, they've been taking too much money from us for years. You know, there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. Like I have to say though, the guy running our little town here, he's not pro union, but he knows what he's doing. I have to give him some props. But man, why do you have so much money? Like, okay, so you've been overcharging us. You know what I mean? Come on, what's up with that? Clarence. Well, you know, I just don't understand how these people are still following him. I just don't get it. It's like the illegality is there. Like, who doesn't understand?
Well, you know, I was talking.
That's not a fucking complicated term. Everybody knows what that means. Who the fuck doesn't know what that means, Bob? I'm serious.
A whole lot of America.
Well, that's fucking pathetic.
Everybody
shouldn't vote.
Out in the pure and patriotic American Midwest, the heartland and the deep South, a quid is that hunk of wet, disgusting chewing tobacco that's in the side of your cheek, in the side of your mouth, there next to your cheek. It's a quid.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yep.
See, I don't. Okay, so I'm uninformed.
And pro is short for professional. And quo,
oh,
and quo is probably one of them words that the Homer sectionals done preverted.
Damn! Wait a minute. The way you just described it, he did a positive thing. That's fucked up.
So what your quid pro quo means is it means that somebody who chews tobacco professionally was a spitting on Homer sectionals. And that's the American way.
So what you complaining about, son?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I need to send thanks out to Jack. Jack a minute ago said, was that chess reference a Star Trek reference? Yes, that was our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening, Queen to Queens Level 3. And Jack got us started on fundraising, and we've gone from 520 now down to 470. So thank you a bunch, Jack. If we get another 50 bucks in, we may get it down to 420. So,
well, you'll be a little below that when I get off the phone. So the other thing I'm concerned about is this criminal that we have this masquerading as an attorney general. That motherfucker needs to go. I'm sorry, he's fucking. What? Why is there no more push for that? That's an easy. That's a gimme.
Well, it's, I mean, what?
I'm just trying to be clinical about this. And it appears to me every attorney general acting who has, you know, occupied that spot has been criminal. Whitaker, Sessions, this asshole. This asshole has a whole history of being fucked up. Whittaker was just a temporary. He was a temp worker from a fucking nefarious temp agency. You know. So, I don't know. What the fuck is wrong with these people, man?
That's it's like a friend of mine who just moved back here said. She found her a house to rent and everything. She said, "Oh my God, Bob, I'm surrounded by a Trumpfecta." She says, "I got two Trump flags in front of me and one behind me. I'm surrounded." But we have a new word, the Trumpfecta.
Trumpfecta. Oh, my God. All she has is a driveway to get the hell out. Oh, man.
I got to give a cowbell to Devin here. Subject line, Trump hospital visit. Experimental therapy. And a link that says, rabies breakthrough offers fresh hope in battle against deadly virus. And Clarence says,
"Oh my God!"
Clarence says, "Todd, I agree with you about the roads. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Most of the folks will spend that money on junk food, beer, booze, or lottery tickets." Yeehaw!
You got it, Clarence. Mm-mm-mm. You got it. That's the truth. Oh my goodness. Well.
Ooh, you know, and Jim has turned his thoughts toward pondering the evil of which people are capable, and just sent this along.
Jim, by the way, over the mountain and down here.
No, Jim, by the way, of over the mountain up here.
Okay.
A Pence Haley ticket. A Pence Haley ticket. Yes, indeedy. QED. Yes, sir.
That'll work. That'll work for them. See, I think, and there were rumors, week before about that Pence, contemplating the 25th. He would love to be president. He wouldn't mind that at all.
Oh, okay. I can smell the smoke from here. Lee in New York has another theory. Pence for president. Mm-hmm. What a scary idea. Pence could do this. Declare he's running for president, lag the other candidates, select Trump as his running mate, still trail. He promises to get sworn in, resign, Republicans unite, Queen to Kings level 3.
Mm.
That's a double Star Trek reference. So.
That could keep Trump out of prison for a while, too. So he expires. No, our leader didn't look well today in the close-up picture recently this afternoon on the Hill newspaper. You could see the pop marks in his face, the makeup wasn't working, and his eyes were a little bloodshot. He didn't look right. He looked like he may have had a little stint. You know, they did something. You know, and I would look for it in his thighs to see if there's...
Well, Agnes told me she heard something referencing kidneys. And I said, "Well, if it's got to do with kidneys, then he came back with, and his 52 B's had become 52 double D's, because that's what happens when that clan goes to get kidney work done."
Hmm. You know, and now we're talking about health. I think a lot of things, but we need to reevaluate. And this is 2019. How what we call it, the health of the president. It needs to involve not only physical health,
right, and health. Exactly, and that's what I was getting at when I pulled up the 25th Amendment a few minutes ago when Steve was asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That language...
I'm not trying to be funny, man.
But that language about a majority of the principal officers of the executive departments needs to be cleaned up and clarified, because it may have meant something when the thing was ratified, but it means something entirely different now.
Well, of course, they weren't.
I mean,
even
shit.
Is
the president's campaign manager a principal of the executive departments? How about his principal pollster?
See, this is what I'm saying, and this is what they're scared of. Now, in a way, maybe they don't want to do it because it's so, it's not intrusive, but it's telling in that we now can run a lifetime MRI of people's, you know, cerebral activity. You can just look now, like lifetime. You can ask someone, ask the subject to do a task, and you can see what's going on in their brain lifetime and see if that area is active or not.
Lighten up,
or,
yeah.
Or abnormal. Right. And see, it's a little complicated. Well, it's a lot complicated because our brains do have the capacity to, you know, reassign areas. You know, but some things, like your prefrontal cortex, when that's fucked up, I'm sorry, there's no reassignment. Now we can see from his behavior that he has impulse issues, right? Emotionally driven. So that means his limbic system's probably fucked up. And we know his prefrontal cortex is compromised because, you know, he has no filter. He just can't help it. He just doesn't have it. And he's stupid. That's why I said before, he's a walking cauldron of pathology. It's not just one or two things. Now, why should we trust this motherfucker? And why are so many people backing him? That's the thing. This is why we have to have this test now. And I would encourage the DNC or somebody, there needs to be some legislation now so we don't have to face this again. You know, stop.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. If you want to fix that language in Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, you have to amend the 25th Amendment.
Well, that's hard.
Or else you have to figure out a way to get the 25th Amendment in front of the Supreme Court, and the only way to do that is to use it.
Well, that's why they've been stacking it.
That doesn't bode well. The one thing you could do that would alleviate that arguably vague language,
mm-hmm.
is for Congress to do what Congress is given the power to do. Because remember, that first paragraph of Section 4 says, whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide. If Congress law provides for the creation of that body, then that takes the question about what a principal officer is out of the calculation. It wouldn't take it away entirely unless...
Bob Kincaid, you need to just repeat those sentences because that's some of the most important information you have imparted upon people. That's a big deal, what you just said.
Well, I mean, that Congress is empowered by the first paragraph of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment to provide for a body on presidential fitness.
See, right. So that says that we are allowed to set up a committee to determine. I mean, am I mishearing this?
No, you're not. And as Randy in PA points out, The House has to pass it, the Senate would have to pass it, the body provided by law, and the president would have to sign it into law. And what Randy and PA asks is, would any president be willing to create such a body and sign such a law into effect, or sign such a bill into law?
Well, only a president who feels that he or she is beyond reproach. See, if you have nefarious, if you're acting badly, you know you are.
Oh, no. There's more dangers there. I mean, so you'd have to. It's all in how you write the law. It's all in how you draft the bill. No mm-hmm. president is going to sign a bill into law that gives an unelected presidential commission the ability to remove the president of the United States at a whim.
Right. That's a death sentence. I mean, right. Okay.
But I love the way this community's mind works. So Jim brings up the idea of a Pence-Haley ticket. That's West Virginia. Off in Louisiana, Jack says, Pence-Haley, if Pence is truly a religious nut and not just for TV, Wouldn't there be a clash between him and a woman that probably wouldn't want some autonomy and would have some ambition? And then, up in Illinois, James writes, you mean Pence's mother, Haley. Because remember, Mike Pence can't be alone with another woman unless mother is in betwixt them.
Well, she'll be
so
in
that there. Means, that's so that right. So that would mean that if Mike Pence was president and Nikki Haley was vice president, he could never have a private, eyes-only, ears-only, double-secret probation national security meeting without having Mother Pence there, too.
Use the word, the M-word, dear. Mother would be there. Yep. Yep, that's how he rolls. Especially around her, because, you know, she's not under track. No. Yeah, that right. So, well, there's a lot of little pathways here. Only thing I'm concerned about, I mean, all this commotion and the uproar, we had Bloomberg and now Patrick Duvall and this and that. And let me say this.
You mean Duvall Patrick?
No damn Negro. Duvall, well, it doesn't fucking matter. He's a goddamn.
Patrick Duvall, Negro. Though. I mean, wait a minute.
It doesn't fucking matter. Right. I'm thinking about Florida.
Yeah, that's Robert Duvall's cousin by a different mother.
A brother from a different mother, the same mother, Duvall County, Florida. But no, but you know, this country, this is the thing. This country is not as liberal as you want to think it is. It's not. And just the way the system is set up now, you know, it's not cool. And the resistance has set up a roadblock, a hell of a roadblock. They've given permanent tax breaks to the people who don't have to work. And they stack the courts. Stacking the lower courts, they stack the Supreme Court.
Yeah, we need not kid ourselves that if we can succeed, the work we have to do is Herculean. That's why we've got it. That's why we've got to knock off as many Republican senators as humanly possible in 20. It's that dare to dream thing I've been talking about. It's not enough.
And I like that.
It would certainly be a fine thing to get enough Democratic senators to send Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch, to a farm upstate. But if you really want to get anything done, you've got to have that veto-proof majority.
That's what we had to take, and this is the time. See, I think a lot of us Democrats have lost. You know, we get excited about the big run, the big race. We forget about the smaller races. State houses. Remember, that's how they started. They took over the state houses and just moved out. You know, you start growing because that's how you groom people. You got to groom people. This is what politics is, you know. It's on the micro scale here in the state, but, you know, we're going to build this out. And so, yeah, I'm in the camp with you now. This, you know, you got to start somewhere. And it's happening because the other side, they're retiring, they're getting out. Maybe they got found out because this Russia thing, you know, like Maria Butina.
Who, incidentally, has been offered a job on the Human Rights Commission.
I don't know. If you saw that link. I sent you a link to that story. But
yeah.
You probably read the story anyway. And, you know, think about it. Because I remember whenever she was only interviewed a couple of times after she was incarcerated. Or maybe never, but right before. But she was like, I'm only here for humanitarian. I want us to get along. You know, and it's the same. It was like the Putin line. I was like, wait a minute. That is the Putin line. That is his line. That is his line. And remember, she infiltrated the most money private organization that contributes to the GOP in the history of the world, the NRA.
The NRA and the National Day of Prayer, National Prayer Breakfast.
Right. And those all God-loving white folk. That's it. See, that's why these folks, they know what they're voting for. They know, you know, Last Gasp. Russia played that shit right, man. They played that shit right. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with our country. It's already fucked up now. This is just... That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know, man. Everybody doesn't need to vote anymore. I'm sorry. It's not working. This shit, we tried it. It's not working. And it's going to get, and this is why I predict it's going to get worse. It's because there's more outlets for propaganda now. Not news, but propaganda disguised as news. And it's happening every day. Podcasts, and you know, because people, I mean, it's a natural inclination to want to feel good. You know, to put that warm news blanket on, you know, confirmation bias, you know, it feels good. And what people fail to understand when they call up C-SPAN, it's approaching, if it's not there, it's approaching a 33% level where they say C-SPAN, Washington Journal is leaning left because they report the news. And it's only because this particular president and this administration continuously engages in negative and antisocial behaviors. Therefore, any honest news coverage will most likely overwhelmingly be negative. It's very simple when people just divorce themselves from their emotions and just look at what's going on in a clinical fashion. And, you know, but apparently, you know, critical thinking skills are, you know, few and far between.
Well, consider that clip I played earlier of Jeanine Pirro just losing her shit. I can't. I'm not making sense. I'm a judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. No, you're a TV personality, judge.
That's what I'm saying. No, there's no. I don't understand how this shit can be righted because. We keep cutting back on things. Education, man. What is going on?
Well, people are easy. The dumber people are, the less educated people are, the more easily they are controlled, and we both know that.
Yeah. Well, right. And that's why he's remembered the mentally ill fascist right before, you know, during the run, you know, when he was running, he said, "I love the undereducated." Oh, and they clapped. They clapped hard. They're like, "Yeah, he likes me." You know, what the fuck, man?
He's talking about me.
You know, and then they're living vicariously through him. So when they feel like he's hurt, they hurt. That's why he's my president. When I hear this, that shit is, oh. Well, but you know, it's America, and maybe we'll get through this, and maybe we won't. But if we don't get through this, this is going to be tough. And once again, you know, we talked about this. This is the fallout from Citizens United, because at the end of the day, there's an argument, and I'm not trying to give them fodder for their legal defense, but you know, you can make the case. Well, you know. Yeah, that money came from somewhere else, but it doesn't matter because we allow dark money. See, that's what it's going to come down to. I don't know. I'm not, you know, obviously, no, I'm not a lawyer. I just try to think. But what do you think about that?
The work we have to do, and I was alluding to this earlier, the list grows every day. Of shit that has to be done by a competent Congress whenever this fucker is gone. And we need to have the ability to drive a real national consensus. I had a note from James a minute ago. This is quit hand-wringing. Get rid of the filibuster once and for all. It'll work to our benefit. Filibuster always worked to the con's advantage. Okay. But that also, you know, what... You know, swords have two edges on both sides, and there's a forehand and a backhand, and we've seen how much damage Republicans can do with the filibuster, you know, just hanging on by a thread as it is. But the other thing I'm thinking about is that you need a two-thirds majority Senate and house, because that way, you know, what you do is unassailable, except in cases of constitutional challenges. And
right.
If you had massive majorities in both houses, you can even keep the Supreme Court in check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at American history, as I've said before, the only time that you get true positive change for the people is when you've got enough control in the hands of the Democratic Party to put things through and make them stick. I think in particular of FDR's Congresses. And then look at what a disaster befell the country when we got a Republican Congress that wouldn't let Harry Truman do anything. And by the way, just in case anybody's wondering, some of the anythings Harry Truman was doing was trying to get out in front of the civil rights issue. And critically also, had he had a Democratic Congress to work with, Harry Truman probably could have gotten through a national health service similar to Great Britain's in the aftermath of the Second World War. But Republicans, what he referred to as the do-nothing Congress, stopped him.
Maybe part of those people were just part of the same Congress, because now you're talking about that time period. Remember Wilkie? Now, Wilkie, man, you look at what Wilkie was talking about. He was a fucking hippie before hippies were hippies.
Yeah.
John Roosevelt's brain, you know, and people, he just got written out of history. You don't even hear anybody talk about that. But maybe that was the tail end of the same Congress, you know, because they couldn't stand Roosevelt. Truman, you know, the more I study about Truman, the more I'm impressed, because he's like, you know what, I have to grow into this job. I'm going to study. And that's, you know, he took it seriously. He did. He wanted to, he could see this was going to boil over. That's why he integrated the services. So he went farther than Roosevelt was willing to go. You know, but, hey, man, look, he's doing a great job. And, let's see. Okay, 822, we're good. Maybe you can talk to some more people. I'm not going to ask you any personal questions. Your journey is your journey, and I wish you the best with what you're trying to do.
Well, I'm going to try to reboot the Quit Smoking on the 21st, because that's the American Lung Association's Great American Smokeout. So,
okay.
The breach.
So motivate. That's beautiful. That's what you got to do. You got to stay motivated. Because you won't even miss it, man. You'll be like, damn, I did that. I mean, that's seriously, that's the way you'll feel. And, all right, so, shoot. And, you know, your program is just on way ahead. So if anybody new is listening, just telling you, this program is way ahead.
Well, I really think the one that I'm focused on right now is the business of how to describe what Trump did relative to Ukraine. There was no legitimate, you know, there was no legitimate investigation. There was no legitimate claim that Biden was doing anything wrong. So we have to frame it, and, you know, I don't know. Weird little things happen. We say things here, and they get out into the broader, the brain space of the nation. We have to understand that what makes this business impeachable is the fact that he was offering a bribe to Zelensky in return for outright lying by a foreign country about a United States, about a couple of United States citizens.
See, how is that hard to understand?
Well, it's not. That's the whole point, Todd. But you have to say it to people that way. And I'm the only one that I hear saying that. Now, granted, I'm not monitoring 16 channels all at once, 18 hours a day. But I'm reading a whole lot of coverage and seeing a whole lot of coverage. And and these, you know, these multimillionaire for-profit journalists are you know, they're tripping over their own loose shoelaces, trying not to make it comprehensible.
It's a very big problem, isn't it? Because the first part of what you said is so easily explained. Because I hear this, and Steve in Georgia hears this every time we listen to Washington Journal. They say, well, what about Biden said out? He just said it out right, and he cursed and said, son of a bitch, and we 6 hours. But what they fail to say is that the whole world wanted that prosecutor out because he was corrupt.
Yeah, it was dirty. Stop saying corrupt. Say dirty. Stop saying. Offered him a bribe to get him to lie.
Change the nomenclature. All right, fine. Right. Right. Exactly. Make it where everybody can understand it. I guess that, you know, I take things for granted. Right. Right. So everyone can understand it. Because it's just ridiculous, you know. This is outrageous, and I don't know what to say. It's so obvious. Okay. So I have noticed the Washington Journal. They will maybe kind of state a fact, not try to correct people, but just say, well, this is what happened. And you know what? And the respondent will say, most, you know, I'm talking about Republicans, will say, but I don't care. He did this. And what about Obama? So these people are just, you know, you can't fix them. And you've been saying that for years. You were like, don't waste time on them. They're just not, there's nothing you can do with it.
Yeah, because it's like Randy in PA just asked a minute ago. Is it true that half of the U.S. population has an IQ under 100? Probably so. you know this stuff better than I do. Isn't average IQ deemed to be around 93?
I've still forgotten this stuff. I think it is, though. It's somewhere around there, 80-something, 90. But it's so complicated now because it's emotional IQ, so it's not just one IQ. You have to take your emotional IQ, and that's 8 or 9 measures. So it's kind of, yeah. So really, what you have to go through is critical thinking. That's why critical thinking is the cutting edge thing now. You can measure someone's IQ, and you know what? And it's just, all right, here's a good example, just because it's pertinent to me right now. Fine, you can have a very high IQ, but guess what? You might have, you know, Asperger's, you know, you might be autistic because you're very bright in one area. Does that mean you can function normally in society? Maybe not. But, you know, you're very bright. So what can you do? You can sit on McDonald's or, you know, do something weird. That's why the emotional IQ and, you know, it's a balance. That's the new way to look at this. So I'm sorry to get off on that tangent, but I just wanted to clear that up. So that's that. Yeah, because I had to deal with somebody like that the other day, man. Mm-hmm. I had to ask them to leave the premises. But, you know, they'll be back. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, so, right. So we have a lot of people who are challenged. And see, that's the thing, critical thinking skills. And I, once again, I have to talk about the South, only because I live here now and I see people. You know, there's a different, for, you know, for a certain amount of people over a certain age, you know, if you're over 30 in the South, you probably went to a school, if you went to a public school where, you know, it was not an open classroom. You really weren't encouraged to ask questions. You just did what you were told to do, and that's that, you know. And, it's totally different than an open classroom or the way they teach children in the majority of the North.
I tell you what, speaking of education issues, let me recommend something to you, Todd. I heard this last night. There's a program that airs through West Virginia Public Radio, and it's called Inside Appalachia. So if you go, if you just look up West Virginia Public Radio, Inside Appalachia, the segment was about literally open classrooms and several projects that are going on in this state where children are taken out into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're talking about four-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Having class out in nature and making nature, making, you know, so that they understand that they're, you know, human beings are not something set apart from nature, but a part of it, a part within it.
And that sounds beautiful.
And so they're teaching, you know, they're not just teaching fuzzy, touchy-feely stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching things like water conductivity.
Biology.
Yeah. Water conductivity. How the pH balance of water affects life.
Exactly. See, right. Remember, you can, if that's what I'm talking about. And when you're out there, my God, the world is your classroom. You see, you have vocabulary. You can talk about photosynthesis. Oh, you know, what does that mean? Well, this is how this plant lives. You know, and you can talk about, I mean, there's a myriad of things. You get biology, you get vocabulary, Latin. You know, if they, you know, and they can fill out, well, you know, because every child is not created the same. You know, some will be able to like, oh, they, you know, some kids will just have a proclivity for languages. You can, you know, tell them the Latin name, the genus, phylum, blah, 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 you know. So, right, but that's a good way to teach. In other words, like, I don't know, when I was in school, that's the way that we were taught, but I went to, you know, one of those magnet schools where, you know, you start with that, you know, there's a lot of things they did. Now I look back, it's like, that's why they did it. That's why we went to those types of schools. Because, and, you know, you just want to expose kids as much as possible, but yeah, the world was your classroom. It's everything. And, you know, and you can find out what, I'm babbling on, but yeah. Listen, man, that is a, and you know what? This is totally a different tangent. And we hadn't talked about food yet. Now, I don't have to, but listen, totally different tangent because this kind of goes into learning. I don't know if you saw on PBS the country music, the Ken Burns' country music thing. Wow. Wow. Man, that is a history lesson. I had no idea I would like a group called Tom Wills and the Texas Playboys. Man, them motherfuckers can play some music.
Yeah. You just got a note from Tracy. Tracy says, happy, oh, how I wish I could get my 420 on. Well, Tracy says, well, since I get fucking drug tested and I like what the majority of the country feels should be legal and yet another example of how out of touch Uncle Joe is. Sorry for the lack of punctuation. I'm on my walk and wanted to get this challenge in before the end of the show. I hereby issue the $25 Uncle Joe is so out of touch that he needs to go sit down somewhere and shut the fuck up challenge so that if my challenge is met, we can bring the fundraising down to 420, and hopefully one day I'll be able to get my 420 on without worrying about losing my fucking job. Keep up the good fight. Love, Tracy. Say hi to Todd. So, with a little less than a half hour remaining in the program, we've got Tracy's $25 Uncle Joe is so out of touch that he needs to go sit down somewhere and shut the fuck up challenge.
Oh, that's going to be met.
I gotta hope.
No,
Tracy pours a lot into naming her challenges.
Tracy is a saint. In that a saint is someone who worked hard to get that sainthood. It doesn't even matter if you believe in religion or not, but there's a reason they picked that mug to be a saint. Like, wow, they did some real fucking good shit. You know? And I'm trying to convince Tracy to be a motivational speaker, and I know she can do it. I know she can do it. And I, you know, I'm looking for an agent, and when I find a good agent, I'm going to direct the agent to her. Because she has an inspiring story. And I got nothing but love and respect for Tracy. And that's the truth. And look, West Virginia, you know, I told you many times, man, I've been, it's not near where you are, but, you know, when you go to a place and the library is a converted Victorian house and it's only open 2 days a week, like, what can you respect?
I know.
It's just, I was like, wow, really? Let's see. Educate some outcomes are down.
I was so shocked when we started sending our kids to school. I went to an elementary school in Alabama, a public school in Alabama, that had a fully stocked and staffed library in the, you know, grades 1 through 6.
Wow.
That doesn't exist here.
No, they cut libraries out, man.
I was a student librarian in 7th and 8th grade in what we would call a middle school that, again, had a thousands of volumes library.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with my high school. None of these schools have that.
No, Bob. That's done. I mean, look, you have to go to a magnet school or be in a wealthy school district. If you're just a regular old kid in the city or out in the rural area, you know, like where you are. I'm telling you, man, I was shocked. I would go there and collect data. I would interview students and parents and do classroom observations, you know, with a stopwatch, you know, and graph what happens, what kind of activities happen every, 5-minute interval, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I've seen it, and I was like, no lie. I was like, and, you know, you're not supposed to show any emotion. And, you know, teachers go with it. What can you do? You can't, you know, they can't move mountains. But what do you expect of a student with no lives? So that means, like, who has a set of encyclopedias when they go home? Or the internet? Like, I don't even say internet because I see how the shit is there. Come on. You can barely... You're a professional. You can barely get goddamn. They won't even give you fiber, man. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
What do you expect of these folks?
Huh. Well, Todd, I'm going to try to get a couple more calls in. It's been a great conversation, my friend.
All right. You too. I'll talk to you and look, you'll hear from me tonight. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
All right.
Have a good night. Okay. Bye now.
And the Earther just asked, what was the name of Tracy's challenge again, Bob? I missed it. It is the $25 Uncle Joe is so out of touch, he needs to go sit down somewhere and shut the fuck up challenge. Marijuana is a gateway drug. I know. So, that challenge is on the table between now and the end of the program. And Mike in Cascadia with a note, Queen to Queens Level 3. Hey, Bob, speaking of chess, Garry Kasparov weighs in on the Ukraine scandal. Not sure if you saw this, but if not, it's a good read. And it's from the New York Daily News, an opinion piece from Garry Kasparov, the excerpt that Mike sends along. So once more, for the record, Trump withheld U.S. aid to Ukraine in order to extort Ukraine's president into helping smear Joe Biden, Trump's political rival. That's it. Game over. Everything else, how it served Vladimir Putin's interest in undermining Ukraine and deflecting Russian guilt for hacking the 2016 U.S. election, no matter how damning it may be, is just treasonous icing on the impeachable cake. Well, that's as close as I've gotten to seeing anybody saying what I'm describing. We have to say Donald Trump offered a bribe to the president of Ukraine of federal money, American money, American aid, American weapons, in exchange for lying about Joe Biden. There was no investigation. It was all just lies. Okay, so Tracy's challenge has been met, courtesy of Rudy in Arizona. So that'll take us down to 420. And then down to 405. So from 520 to 405 is a nice little lick for the evening. 405, and thank you very kindly to Rudy. Thank you so very much. Let's check in real quick with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm sorry about the Bluetooth and the stress line number. I don't know if this little gizmo's gone dead on me, but it will not hold. It will not hold the call.
Well, there you go. Well, I was holding for you. just a minute here. I've been cut my tablet down. While I was holding for you, this woman called and said, "May I speak to the lady of the house?" And I said, "Honey, you got her. What can I do for you?"
Mm-hmm. That's two cowbells in one night, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I receive all these calls all the time. And the latest thing is about the new Medicare thing.
Yeah.
And you can't convince these people that if you have, like, federal Blue Cross Blue Shield, you got to give that up. They don't know anything about that, but that's okay. I digress, and I'm sorry. But, you know, pursuant to what you were talking about as far as Trump and what happened to him, it's just real simple because I've had these attacks myself, and they're horrible. And the waves of his free-floating anxiety simply crested. And they crested because they were blown by the reverses he suffered, particularly when his friend was found guilty of how many counts of all kinds of bad stuff.
You talking about Roger Stone?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he may be a little while getting out of the stir.
Oh, I think he definitely is. And, you know, he's... you know, the man is not in very good shape. I mean, he's a 240-pound mass of whatever he is a mass of, and I don't want to go into it because I don't think anybody needs to take an appetite suppressant after we talk about him. But nonetheless, he is has a sticky wicket, and he's going to have to do a lot of maneuvering, and a lot of stuff's going to have to happen before he is in the clear. And I don't think he ever will be in the clear.
I think he's created too many avenues of his own doom.
Well, you know, back in New York in the 70s, the man was hated. He was. You couldn't find anybody who'd say anything good about him. And his, like you said, his past 50 years, probably ever since he was 24, are just a monotonous chronicle of crime and wrongdoing and hurting other people without any sense of compassion or compunction. That's Donald Trump to me.
I think you're right. I mean, and remember, he was raised more by his daddy than his mama. He craved his mother's affection. She was not forthcoming. And so he was raised by a crook in the first place. When your daddy's a Klansman and your daddy has the principal raising of you, it's not gonna end well.
Well, his father was a good example for him, that's for damn sure. And he taught his son quite well. And his son has followed those things ever since he was able to do what he's been doing, that's for sure. I mean, he's just a monotonous chronicle of bad stuff. I mean, going back to his show on TV, please, that was ridiculous. To me, it was. And his charity, the man has no charity. He never had any charity in his life.
No.
And it's all been for a misdirected purpose, his own selfish end. That's a certain. And Pitts, what's her name? Haley?
Yeah, Nimrata.
When I saw her on CBS Sunday Morning a week ago yesterday, I could sense right then and there that appearance was not exactly happenstance. To me, she wanted to do something and wanted to be noticed. And that's a good news program, too. And I hated to see it sullied by her.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, there it is, and there you have it.
Well, I think she is. Nimrata Haley is a deeply ambitious woman, and she thinks that she can check off some boxes on the Republican side that'll give her viability. I guess she thinks that the American people are stupid enough to vote for her just because she says, I'm racial too.
Mm-hmm. I know. She referred to her father when he wore a turban and all kinds of stuff. She was definitely soft-pelling her way as best she could through that program. And normally those people on that program staff are not really mislaid or taking advantage of it. She sure did a good job of doing that.
Well, indeed. Indeed.
And, I said this too. Which board game are the Russians' traditional champions?
Chess, of course.
And I don't think our checkers will match, to be honest with you.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, look, good luck with the renewal of your smoking cessation.
I'm going to try again. It was just happenstance that I read something today that said, hey, the Great American Smokeout's coming on the 21st. So that gives me a couple of days to screw my courage to the sticking place again and maybe make it work this time.
Well, very good, very good. I wish you all the best in that. I sent you an email of that effect last week, and I truly hope you can succeed because tobacco and nicotine are horrible, mucky to have on your back. They really are.
Well, they are. And they're putting out these little pouches. They're not tobacco. I mean, they're it's derived from tobacco, but they're just little pouches of nothing but flavored nicotine. And you just stick them between your cheek and gum. But you don't have to walk around spitting all over the place.
Well, a little stuff never hurt. Maybe there was a reason behind all that. Well, look, you probably have somebody else you'd like to talk to, and I was going to get off here. But I just didn't have a whole lot else to say but what I did say. But I do believe our fearless leader has some rather serious problems. And, apparently his demons are amassing their armies, and they're going to confront him head-on. And all his other demons, the 2 feet that he calls them.
Well, I just try to give the sound advice to strap in because it's going to be weird.
A bumpy ride.
Right bumpy. Jim, have a good night.
Good night, Margo Chatting.
Go get out the stirrup pump, stirrup bong. That bong with the stirrups and the aquarium pump for the ages. And like I said, we're down to 4:05. Tracy's challenge met. And this is the final week of fundraising. So hopefully we'll finish on time and have 5 glorious days of fundraising free radio next week. All right, Scott, what's up, man?
Pardon me. A little frog in my throat, Bob.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Yeah. Michigan J-Frog.
Meow. Hi, jerks. God, she's been as quiet. I had to shake her a couple of times to see that she hadn't died. And now I get on the line to a national, world, even worldwide audience. And what does she do? Meow. And I fed her. I don't know. Come on, Bob. I guess you and Todd heard me pacing up and down on the sideline. During when Todd was talking to you, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play, Jesus. I know time is short, so I'll keep it as brief as I can. I think I have talked to you since this happened. I was just about this close, indicating thumb and forefinger an inch apart, from canceling my AT&T U-verse TV, what passes for a package. It was just the local channels plus HBO, because I got tired of paying a bunch of money for next to nothing. And I finally went up to the office of the president level, and a lady called me, and she hooked me up with a decent deal that gave me, more channels like MSNBC, which I'm glad to have back, and Turner Classic Movies, which I'm thrilled to have back, and C-SPAN and all the rest. But Todd and Steve in Georgistan and all the Washington Journal fans, my 30 days are up, so I'm free to call Washington Journal again. So I'm getting revved up for that. I'm waiting for the perfect morning to do that. So you know, that'll give them something to look forward to, a voice of reason in the an aisle of information and reality-based stuff in a sea of madness. But one of the things about having more channels, again, I've started my day, I DVR either on IFC, I think it is, and AMC. They play a lot of Three Stooges early in the morning. So I've got the DVR to tape those vintage Three Stooges episodes. And before I watch a speck of news, I watch get my daily ration of Three Stooges. And I'm telling you, that helps with the sanity.
It sort of sets the mood, doesn't it?
Well, it cleanses the palate and gives your mind a little respite and cultivates your laugh mechanism, you know, before you launch into the reality-based nonsense, you know? So it's good to have that back again. But getting back to Trump's visit to Walter Reed, this is an intriguing thing, Bob. And I think I sent you that thing from Cheney's cardiologist. The White House is very well equipped for even minor, major medical issues with the president. Because even though Walter Reed or Bethesda Naval Hospital are just a five-minute chopper ride away, sometimes time is of the essence. And it's not the Surgeon General. It's like the White House surgeon or the White House medical officer is on call all the time.
Dr. Ronnie at one point, who was known in White House circles as the candy man for the pills he gave out.
Yeah, yeah. But the point being, if they had to go to Walter Reed, there was something major going on. Now, what symptoms were presented that created the situation that caused that trip? I'm sure it'll come out eventually. But here you've got someone who's in horrible physical shape. What is he, 73, 74 years old?
73.
His diet is just, I mean, you cannot, no matter what age you are, you cannot eat KFC and fucking cheeseburgers.
I repeat,
every damn
two Big Macs, two fillet of fish, large fry, Diet Coke.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot ingest that stuff. I mean, every now and again, once in a blue moon, it's okay to splurge and do fast food. I do it myself. But more often than not, I eat reasonably good food, okay? And then I treat myself. It's like once or twice a month, I'll treat myself to what passes for a pint of Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream. Every month, that's my early in the month treat for having made it through the previous month without going completely apeshit and creating an incident, you know? I tend to think that it's a cumulative effect with Trump. So he's got his diet, his bad health anyway, and now an seemingly endless cascade of bad news politically and personally for the man. That shit will tend to build up. And he doesn't present as someone with healthy outlets anyway. He sits and watches the fucking Fox News and America One News and all of this crap, you know, and then whoever he follows online, you know, plus reality is beginning to encroach upon his guarded palace gates. And then with Roger Stone getting the book thrown at him, plus the press that the book was printed on thrown in for good measure, you know, it brings to mind Nixon in the final days when he's walking up and down the hallways talking to the portraits of the dead presidents, you know? And one thing that you didn't mention that might have brought this on, as if all of that weren't enough, you do realize that his campaign does internal polling.
Sure.
Okay, so you had the election results in Kentucky where Bevins won. Wasn't that his name, the young Bevins?
No, not young. Bevins was the incumbent.
I'm sorry.
Andy Beshear.
Beshear. These B names will fuck you up every time, Bob. So Beshear won, and then the following week, the Louisiana governor was reelected by about 3 points. You know, even though Trump made 4 trips down there to the Bayou State, he still couldn't. His coattails weren't quite long enough to pull his candidate over the finish line. Okay. So anyway, getting back to internal polling, I have a sense that their internal polling that the Trump campaign is doing is beginning to reflect a change in the electorate, especially. You don't watch Meet the Press on Sundays, do you?
Mostly I get clips.
All right. Did you see the clip about the 5 counties that Chuck showed on the map Sunday morning? There's like Milwaukee County. There's a county in Wisconsin, not Wisconsin, but Michigan. There's a county in, oh, God, I wish I had written them down, Ohio. And there's like 3 other counties, which are indicators of the state of how things may very well go in 2020. And those are all this far ahead are not looking good for Trump. So you add that to the weight of what's getting him down, and something has snapped in the man. You know?
But I'd like you to at least consider my theory.
All right.
That there hasn't necessarily been any event. That this is simply the setup to his eventual resignation.
Well, when you were talking about that, I thought about it. And he portrays himself, at least in the world of his lawsuits during his business career. There was an interview with the guy on C-SPAN. That's another thing I'm happy I have back. Book TV on the weekend. There was an interview with a guy, a Republican guy, a straight-ahead Republican, old-fashioned Republican guy, a lawyer, who wrote a book called Plaintiff in Chief. Look up go to the C-SPAN website and look up that talk that he gave about his book, Plaintiff in Chief. And it'll tell you everything you need to know about how Trump tries to game the legal system. Like 3,500 lawsuits this guy talks about in his book. Okay? But anyway, he portrays himself as someone who never backs down, he never quits. I don't think that even if he were knocking at death's own door, that he would show that weakness. I don't think he's got it in him. Even for purposes of self-preservation, he's in it to the end. And unless I am mistaken, and I could be, I don't think that the man will ever quit. Even in 2020, if he's defeated, I don't think he'll go happily. I don't know that he'll try to stay and call out the fucking Marines or whatever.
Yeah, but so,
he'll piss and moan about it.
Yeah, but Scott, he's looking at spending whatever remains of his life behind bars if he doesn't get a pardon.
Yes,
and,
I know that.
And that means he either has to win in 2020 or he has to resign ahead of it. And get the pardon, you know, get the Ford job.
Yeah, well, I know that, but I just don't think that as a human being, I don't think he can ever show that degree of being wrong. Because what do we know about how human beings are hardwired, Bob? We know that human beings are hardwired to look good and be right by making others bad and wrong. And who do we know with orange skin and awful-looking hair. I mean, if hair health is a condition of general health, that should tell you a lot right there. Who do we know that fits that profile? And I'll give you a hint. Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, and I know.
It's possible, but things would have to be awfully bad. I mean, they would really have to have him up against the wall, as it were, for him to consider doing that. Because he wants to portray himself as a tough guy. He's always wanted to portray himself as never being wrong, always being in great health. And his phone call to the guy in Ukraine was perfect, just El Perfecto, President El Perfecto, you know, and even living up to that is a stressor, if you will. I just you could be right, but I just don't, at this point, I don't see it happening. And if only, I mean, he's got a lot riding on Election Day 2020. That's his focus. And he's got something to prove even now. It's not enough to get elected the first time. He's got to prove that his first four years were not an anomaly, not an accident, not a cosmic joke. That, you know, and he's going to get four more years and make everything right, you know, and usher in the Armageddon or whatever the fuck he thinks he's up to. But the other side of that is, I don't know that you'll agree with this, but I don't think the Republicans have ever been in such a vulnerable state. Because people who are reality-based, and there are more of us than there are of them, okay, people are beginning to see just what a colossal error it was to allow this man anywhere near the levers of power. You've got, what, 20-some GOP House members already who have either said they're not running or have quit already?
They've scampered. They've scampered off.
Yeah. The things are coming into alignment, I think, in 2020 for sanity to take hold. That's what pissed me off so much about Biden's pot talk here that I sent to you. In today's world, and I could see 20 years ago buying into that gateway drug horse shit, but in today's fucking world, Bob, that is bad science all over the place. That gateway bullshit. And that really gave me pause, man. I mean, if it's anybody but Trump and Biden ends up being the nominee, can I responsibly vote for someone who holds such an opinion? I mean, without being stoned?
Or taken out and stoned.
Well, it's frightening. I know that Biden's good at gaffe making, but Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so wound up, but it's like, you know, maybe I don't need cable. Maybe I don't need all those news channels to frustrate me and upset me and stuff. But anyway, and good for you, by the way, with the quit smoking business.
Well, don't congratulate me yet. It hasn't happened, but, you know.
Yeah, but you're thinking that you're looking in that direction. And that, believe me, that's a bigger step than you realize. When I quit, and it's been a little over 20 years ago that I quit cigarettes, and I was a fucking two and three pack a day man, you know, and had been one for some years.
You must have climbed the walls.
No, I basically said, you know what triggered me? I'll tell you exactly what triggered me. It was like August of 1999. I was sitting there chain smoking, as I often did. This is before I moved out here, right before. I'm sitting there, and I'm getting a tightness, a very mysterious tightness and discomfort in my chest. And I didn't have anything to be panicky about, so I knew it probably wasn't that. So I got on the phone and booked a visit to the doctor to go in for the treadmill test, you know, where they put the electrodes on you and make you run your ass off on the treadmill for 20 minutes.
Oh, I know it. I hate it.
And it didn't show anything, but it was like a wake-up call to me. And I said, well, here's what you have got to do. I had quit for 10 months once before, some years before, and for 4 months, some years before that. So I knew on an intellectual way that I could do it. But this had to be for good. This had to be forever. And you can't look at it forever. You've got to look at it on a momently basis and say, in the next 10 minutes, I will not smoke a cigarette. And I used the gum. And it yes, the first week to 10 days are a little hairy, okay? But if you can get past that first week to 10 days and use the gum or the lozenges, and I've never used the patch, so I can't personally vouch for that. But the gum is the closest use of nicotine to actually smoking, except you don't light it. You feel the urge, you get that little thing in your head, and it gives you a hit. But it's the difference between a bottle of beer, the buzz that you get from that, and the buzz that you get from injecting heroin right into a vein. It's enough to satisfy the craving, but not enough to get you hooked again. And they tell you to only use the gum for X number of weeks or months or whatever. Never mind that shit. Use it for as long as you want. You may.
Yeah, I had a note from Ron in the far frozen north saying, I've been chewing this shit for 20 years.
Well, and that's the same thing with me. Right now, I got a piece in my mouth, okay? And about 10 years ago, I had been off of all nicotine, and I was going through a stressful time, and I was very sorely tempted to pick up the smokes again. And I said, fuck that. Fuck that. I went out and got a box of Nicorette, and that was like 8 or 10 years ago. And I don't mind. See, it as it happens, I like a little nicotine in my life every day.
Well, let me ask you, because it comes in flavors, are you a fruit-flavored Nicorette guy or a cinnamon Nicorette guy?
Neither. I am the original. And here's why. I've got a fair amount of bridge work, okay? And I have found that the original works the best when you've got a fair amount of bridge work. In other words, it doesn't stick to your crowns or your bridge work or your, you know, your uppers or whatever. And I don't mind the flavor. One of the things I didn't like about the fruit flavored, I never tried the cinnamon, but the fruit flavored, the flavor that was built into it would go away and it was like nasty. But with the original, it doesn't bother me because it's not.
Which flavored. Is kind of minty.
Yeah, it's got kind of a peppery, when you first start chewing it, it's got kind of a peppery taste to it. Not real overwhelmingly peppery, but just enough to know that you're getting your fix. Okay? I'm hooked. What can I tell you? But I'm glad that you're thinking in terms of taking that step, because it is a big step. But I have all the confidence in the world that you're going to do fine, and you're going to start tasting things better. You're going to be sleeping better. You're going to be breathing more effectively. You know, like your taste buds are going to come back. And after a year, when your body has really done a number on itself to get rid of all the nasties in your system, you're going to have more energy. And you're just going to be there will be an essential lightness in your being smoke-free.
A spring in my step.
And a couple of years ago, I started smoking a pipe, which is a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, it doesn't make you want a cigarette, does it?
No, not at all. I was afraid. I resisted it for a long time, but I said, you know what? In the winter, the fall and the winter.
It's the inhaling.
Yeah. And you get a little bit of nicotine from the puffing because, you know, your mucous membranes and all in your mouth.
Yeah, but that's like getting a little bit of nicotine from the gum.
Yeah, exactly. But it is nice to get out front on a cool evening and light up the pipe.
You have those you in San Diego?
What?
The evenings? Pipe? No, cool evenings.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're getting to that time of year. We're getting to that time of year where there's a briskness in the evening, and walk out front.
Because see, I got a screen grab from Tracy earlier today, and all it's all she said was, "I'm really getting tired of this shit."
Because hot weather.
It's mid November, and she just showed me the thermometer from in her car, and it just said 94.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been hot as fuck the last couple of days, but you know that's just summer hanging on. That happens here. But along around the end of November and then into December and then the rainy months in January and February, it gets downright chilly of a morning or of an evening. And that's my pipe smoking time. And there's something thoughtful and deliberative about getting out in, after the day is done and having a bowl of whatever my blend is. And contemplating things and thinking about things. It's a whole different form of smoking because it's not a rush thing.
Yeah, and it's I've had more input about this because people know the nature of the addiction relationship. I just got a note from Shorty in LA. Mm-hmm. I'm issuing the tiniest ashtray ever. I can't stand smoking after brushing my teeth, but once I have that first cup of coffee, it's a wrap. I throw my cigarettes anywhere in the high places.
And that's the other thing. You've got to rethink. There was an essay, and I was almost going to send it to you, in a book that Harry Reasoner wrote called Before the Colors Fade. And he did a little essay about smoking. And he was talking about life presents enough moments that provide the punctuation that we need in life. And through smoking, we're adding additional punctuation that's not really necessary. And that is probably going to be your biggest hurdle as you become and stay a non-smoker. The phone rings. What do? You light one up. You're sitting online looking for stuff. What do? You light one up. You finish a meal, what do? You light one up. You've got to put those habits aside and perform life differently.
And find something to replace it. I mean, there's nothing quite like vigorous exercise that makes you feel like you're going to barf up a lung because you've been smoking so long to make you maybe not want to have one. And so I'm hoping, even though we're coming into cold weather here, I'm hoping to replace it with, like, you know, a nice mile-long walk on one of the trails around here because we got a lot of trails. Yeah. But, you know, the oral fixation is another aspect of it. And this has nothing to do with quitting smoking, but, you know, dear candy makers of America, please quit fucking with the classic flavors of my memory.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a bag of sugar-free Lifesavers here, the fruit flavor, right?
Yeah.
Now, it used to be cherry, pineapple, orange, lime.
I think grape was in there.
No, it was cherry, pineapple, orange, and lime, and maybe lemon?
Yeah, could be.
Well, now it's been replaced by cherry, raspberry, watermelon, orange, and pineapple. And by God, I don't know who invented artificial watermelon flavor, but they should be flogged.
Yeah.
Dug up and flogged. Because whatever that flavor it is, it ain't watermelon.
No, or not any watermelon that you've ever had in real life.
And then, so I dig into the great big humongous Halloween bag of mini Tootsie Pops.
Yeah.
There are flavors in there I didn't even, I mean, really? A mango Tootsie Pop? Okay.
Are you talking about the sucker with the Tootsie Roll center?
Yeah. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie? Yeah.
Is the flavor, Bob.
I've had to pan through that whole 50 fucking pound bag, it feels like. I feel like a California gold miner in 1849 sitting there looking for that elusive goddamn grape Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's orange in there, but now there's tangerine too. There's cherry, well, but now there's black cherry. And why did they get rid of the lime ones? And I mean, they kept the color; they just changed it to green apple. Fuck you.
Well, see, I'm still pissed off 30 years ago when they got rid of root beer flavored Kool-Aid. I grew up on that shit.
Oh hell, I never had that.
Oh God, yes.
I mean, it was a big deal when they introduced fruit punch flavored Kool-Aid. You couldn't get that some places for a while.
You mean like tropical punch?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I still drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I like grape and tropical punch.
I've always been a grape guy. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there are, and you
but
know
I miss
this,
I miss my goddamn lime lifesavers. Oh, and the other bag of candy.
People.
Do you remember Charms Sour Pops?
Oh yes.
Well, no, they're Charms Sweet Pops now.
Well, they're fucking with us, I think. Is there nothing we
Bastards.
Can depend on in this world?
Bastards.
Do you remember root beer barrels? Did you like those?
Oh, no. I'm okay with them. Agnes adores them.
And there was a penny candy. By the way,
this bag had said, oh, Sweethearts. So I'm like, cool, I love Sweethearts. Well, no, it's in a little tiny roll. They're just rebranded Smarties.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
There were these candies that were individually wrapped in cellophane that my grandmother used to have, and they were wonderful. They were mints, but they weren't the disc hard candy mints. They were round, sort of, and you'd put them in your mouth, and they would like dissolve. Do you know these candies that I'm talking about?
I'm having a hard time playing. But Shorty's in with us. Why? Because they're mean. All of them. And then all caps. All taste buds matter.
Yes. Yes, damn it. The tastes of our youth. Well, I went out several months ago and got a thing of Twinkies. They fucked up Twinkies, Bob. They've done something to them. And I don't know what they've done to them. I know several years ago, Continental Bakeries, Hostess Continental Bakeries.
Oh, they went out. Yeah, they went out of business, and then somebody else bought them, yeah, and they fired all the union employees. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whoever did that also fucked with the recipe.
Oh, I know.
They've done something to Twinkies. I wish we had them out here, but I'm too far west. Do you remember Tasty Cake?
Oh, yeah, that is such a Philly thing.
Those Monitor and Merrimack pies, those fruit pies, blueberry and peach and apple, they will send them to you. You can order them online, but I miss the day when you can walk into a convenience store and buy a fucking Tasty Cake pie, those rectangular, Monitor and Merrimack shaped. Tasty Cake pies.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to when I get back to New York. There's a candy store in the Lower East Side that stocks candies that just don't seem to exist anymore. Because, you know, there's so much competition for shelf space in, like, little Rippy Marts and stuff. But I'm going to go in there and go wild.
Well, you ought to. And you need to do something with that candy dish from the way you've described it.
Oh, the one on prayer meeting Wednesday?
They're fucking with your candy dish, Bob.
Yeah, they are. Scott, we've run late, man. I got to get out of here.
Where's all the great Tootsie Pops, damn it?
Where? Yeah, and the orange ones. Oh, the orange ones.
Oh, yeah.
And the lemon ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wish I had
here's just a funny thing. You know those little hard taffies called Now and Laters?
Oh, yes. Yes.
When those things came onto the market, I was a kid in Alabama, probably going into junior high school. And spoken through the dialect I grew up with, those became Nylaters.
Yeah.
Nylaters.
Yeah.
It's kind of like up here on top of the mountain nearby was a great big observation tower for keeping a watch for fires. And it is, and the road is referred to, and the mountain is referred to as Fire Tower Mountain. But in the local dialect, it becomes Fartar.
Yeah,
Fartar. Let's go up Fartar.
And
you get some annihilators and go up on Fartar, and you drink beer, and you shoot your goons.
What if you're too young to drink beer? You drink Coca-Cola?
Oh no, they drink beer. The youngest.
Coca-Cola. Man.
It's Coca-Cola. And I saw something in the store the other day, and I brought it home for Agnes to try because I don't drink that many sugared soft drinks, but I still have a certain fascination for it. Peach flavored Coca-Cola.
Oh no, no.
And raspberry flavored Coca-Cola.
You must live in a test market. I have never seen that sort of thing.
Well, the funny thing is, it was Mexican Coke.
Really? In the little bottles?
But real old school glass Coke bottles. And, I don't know if you pronounce the H. Hecho en Mexico, and cane sugar and not high fructose corn syrup. You know, all the things that make life worth living.
One more thing before we go, and I know it's time to go past time. On Amazon, I think, but it may be Netflix, but I'm pretty sure it's Amazon Video. I watched a documentary, and sugared soft drinks is what triggered it. A film from a couple of years ago called Unbottled. It's about a little town in Texas that was one of the earliest Dr. Pepper bottling companies that got screwed over by corporate. It's called Unbottled. Watch that. And it'll give you a hint as to what's wrong with this fucking country.
Oh, I know a little bit about Coca-Cola International's war on its independent bottlers.
Yeah, well, this was Dr. Pepper. This is, I believe, isn't that a PepsiCo deal?
Dr. Pepper was born as a beverage in Waco, Texas. They've even got a museum down there.
Well, this was another town. I think it's called Dublin, Texas. I forget. I'm not real good at names of places. But you watch that documentary, Unbottled, and it'll break your heart. It'll break your heart. People would come from miles around. Even international visitors would come to get Dr. Pepper with cane sugar. It was like the last local bottling company that still made Dr. Pepper with sugar. And I know sugar's not the best
there's a chemical difference. So now they're back to making all these things with cane sugar again. And you know what they did? They jacked up the prices.
Well,
one bottle of Dr. Pepper made with cane sugar is, I think, $1.48 a bottle. Maybe more.
That's crazy.
Up at the Wiggling Pig. Yeah. Jack in Shreveport says, I saw a cinnamon-flavored Coke. Well, Pepsi did that a couple of years back. Cinnamon Pepsi. Wasn't bad.
I can't imagine that. Peach-flavored Coke? And what was the other Coke that you mentioned?
It was Georgia Peach and California Raspberry.
I can't fathom that. I'll have to look for it next time I'm in Ralph's. Because every now and again, I like a sugar drink, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you can handle the caffeine. I can't.
Oh, yeah. God, that's one of the four major food groups for me, Bob. Caffeine, nicotine. And another thing I wish they had out here that you'd have to order by mail, Utz potato chips.
Oh, see, you lose me on that. We get Utz's here, and you can have my supply.
Well, you must not be eating them right, Bob, because I love
And then
Utz.
People from Central West Virginia rave over Mr. B potato chips, and for me, they're so greasy, it's like sticking your hand in a bag of lard. Oh, they're disgusting.
Well, and so ends another edition of Food Talk.
Bob and Scott, I know.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Scott, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Thanks, Bob. You too. And my best to the Horn, the Kincaid family and to the Horn family around the world. What a group we are.
And all the ships at sea.
Yes, and hello, Mr. and Mrs. North American, all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Anyway, who was that? Walter Winchell.
Yeah.
Winchell.
Sighted sub smoked Did same.
Yeah. Say it again?
Sighted sub smoked same.
Yeah, there. All right. On that note, arrivederci, Bob.
All right. See you, Scott. Later.
That's about the things we talk about here. Well, we ran a little bit over, but, hey, I missed two shows last week, so maybe we cleared a little bit of that deficit. We knocked down some more deficit as well here. Thank you very, very kindly to our buddy Texas T. We're now down to 380, which means tomorrow will be 580, but it beats the hell out of, what would it have been, 720. So thank you very kindly. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Pop on by. See what they're up to. They're doing a lot of great things. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.